City Council work session on November 28, 2005. We appreciate you being with us this evening. We have one item to talk about, newspaper stands around our city. And there's been a lot of work study done on that subject. And Mr. LeDuc, would you like to expand on that, please?
Yes, sir. At our last Horizons, we had a nice discussion on the fact that we're having a proliferation of newspaper racks that are going up throughout the community, especially in the downtown area. About 2 or 3 years ago, they just started appearing everywhere. We felt at that time that we needed to go ahead and get a little bit of a handle and control on this, and council asked that we head up a group with the publishers and with public safety and ourselves, and to come up with some methodology as to where they should be located and what they should look at. Bill Huggins has been working on this for the last several months, and he's here to present a report with two other gentlemen that he'll introduce in a moment. Bill?
Thanks, Roger. Most of this will be done by Wendell and Scott, and we'll introduce them in a minute. As Roger said, you may remember back last Horizons that we started talking to you about the issue of newsstands in the downtown area and how they were popping up essentially without control. There's nothing in city code that allows for such uses to be on public right-of-way and on the sidewalks or in other public spaces, but over the years it's just been they've just always been permitted as a matter of course. And of course, in recent years, what we're seeing is more and more of them popping up, mostly the free publications that are causing the numbers to really swell. So we've looked at this issue with the publishers, distribution people for the local papers, and that includes the pay publications and free publications. And it's taken us a while because we're trying to work with that group to come up with a good solution to this problem, and they've been very cooperative with us to this point. We didn't really want to take the approach that we would control this, maintain or manage this process directly, that is to manage newsstands or to ask people to pay into it and have us actually manage that process. We felt like the group, the private companies, should really try to do that themselves if they were comfortable with it. So with that in mind, Wendell Hall's here tonight to talk to you about what we have looked at with respect to location, appearance, and those kinds of issues, and some conclusions that we've come to bring to your attention, some recommendations about where we might want to allow these things to be placed in the future if you choose to continue to allow them. Wendell also has a couple of other issues about public rights of way and sidewalks to talk with you as well. Coming out of that, we may want to suggest that you consider whether or not an ordinance to codify these issues might be the best solution. Also here is Scott Newcomb from the Aiken Standard, and Scott is in distribution, and he has been the spearhead for the publishers and distribution folks in terms of pulling them together and having them work with us on this process. So he's really done yeoman's work on it along with Wendell. So with that, Wendell will come up here and we'll do a little slide presentation for you to show you what we have in mind.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
Council, Mayor, what we've tried to do is put together an overview of the problem as it exists downtown. Earlier this afternoon, I did a box count in the area bounded by Newberry, Pendleton Park, and Barnwell Avenue. Presently, there are 84 paper boxes in that area, including the boxes presently located at the post office. What we'd like to do is look at three areas. Predominantly, the paper boxes will be the gist of the discussion here, but also signboards and items for sale. what we've tried to do is put together a packet, and I've handed out one to everybody, that gives you a look at the photographs of the boxes that are presently downtown. There is no rhyme or reason as to how the boxes are placed. They just seem to show up. We've had some areas that had no boxes downtown, and then overnight we'll have three or four the following day. In one slide, in the top right photograph, we've even started to have boxes that have moved out close to the parking spaces. I have some concerns there as far as public safety. If that continues and we get a large row of boxes there, I have a concern for a firefighting effort if we had to get to the front of some of these buildings. As you leave through, you'll see the boxes. They're spread pretty much all over the blocks of downtown that I gave as the boundaries. And then we have a couple of areas where the boxes seem to grow in large numbers. Front of Pat's Restaurant, there's 14 boxes in that location. At the corner of Park and Lawrence, I believe there's 8 or 9 in that location. What we've tried to do in these photographs, and this is the post office, and it shows the large number of boxes there. The post office is unique, and we've struggled with what to propose there. Because this location, we can't move the boxes against a building and still be on city right-of-way. If we move them against the building here, they'll be on the post office property, and they have not agreed to allow us to do that. So what we tried to do is show you the current appearance of the boxes downtown and then what it would look like if we allow Scott and his group to come in and erect permanent boxes that Scott's group would control. A little later, we'll let Scott answer any questions you have concerning that. There's 5 locations that's being discussed presently. This one is Pat's Restaurant, where we have a large number of boxes. And the proposal is to move it around to the side so that it doesn't block the windows of that restaurant. That's a blank wall. Next location is at the corner of Park and Lawrence. There's a large number there. If we replace that with the permanent structures, it would tidy up that corner. And the merchant that runs that particular business said he had no problem with the boxes being there. Next location is on beside the bank. And there's only a few boxes in this area, and there's none in the before photograph. You have to move a little further north on Lawrence for boxes to be present. But I think we could probably clean up that whole stretch of the street with one box in this location. And these are all proposed locations that Scott has come up with. The next location is in the alley. We have a number of boxes here. In the after photograph, you'll notice that the horse is also missing. We will put the horse back. It was just easier to alter the photograph by not having to place the horse. Forgive us there. And the next location is next to the brew pub, actually between the brew pub and Charlotte's Dress Shop. And this is, to me, one of the more crowded areas of Lawrence Street because of the tables in front of the brew pub and then the paper boxes. The boxes, if we fit them in the present location that they're at, it's going to be a squeeze. So an alternate location for that would be in the alleyway on the side of Lionel Smith, and that would look something like this. This would allow us to clean up the areas downtown. One of the questions that has come up, I believe this would be one council would have to ask, answer for us, is how many boxes do we want to replace? Do we want to replace number for number? There's presently 84 boxes. Do we want to put 84 boxes that are permanent in the downtown area? Do we want to reduce that number? That's a question that has been discussed, and I don't have an answer for that. The area, the post office is unique again in that the post office will not allow us to put the boxes on their property. Where the boxes presently sit at the post office is right of way. Also, another concern that we have are the signboards. And these are becoming more and more prevalent downtown. This one just happens to be in front of Tats, but I've counted as many as five in the downtown area just walking around looking. Current ordinances that we have that we are using is 36-6 and 36-7 deals with obstructions generally and display of merchandise. In both of these ordinances, the wordage used is to obstruct or blockade. We recently had some charges that were going to go to a jury trial, and I felt like we may get a decision there, but the person decided to, or chose not to go to the trial and accepted a plea arrangement. I believe this is a little bit vague. Some people may read that as if you don't put anything on the sidewalk that blocks a path, then it's not an obstruction. What I would suggest is an ordinance that is inclusive of all of these items, whether it's streetscape, short-term sales that are presently held downtown, the paper boxes, which are in some cases paid publications and others free publications, signboards or even special events. And if we could work towards something that reads it's unlawful to place any item on city right-of-way without the express consent of council or the designee, then we would be able to say, yes, you can put it there. No, you can. And if it doesn't have council's consent, then it would be an area that would be a violation of that ordinance, and we could work within that. It would be much clearer, more easily understood. As I said, the bigger concern of this matter is the paper boxes and where we would like to go with that. I'll open it to questions. I'm sure Scott will be glad to answer any that you have concerning what they are trying to propose.
Wendell, do any of the storefronts or the people that own the businesses earn any money from having these boxes in front of their stores?
Not my knowledge, no.
Okay, all right. Well, I, for one, would be against 84 boxes. I think if we have them in a central location, maybe, I don't know, four or five, maybe six or so, where you've got the multiple stands, that's what you're proposing. That's what I see here.
The boxes that are pictured, and you know, we're kind of working from generic size here, but what you see pictured in those five locations are approximately 64 boxes. So that would be a reduction from what's on the street right now.
Let me ask another question. What is Greenville doing? I understand they've got a pretty good system in Greenville. Did y'all look at that?
I'm not familiar with Greenville. I did look in Charleston. I had the opportunity to be in Charleston, and they're using a box system very similar to this.
And how often do you see those boxes along the street? I mean, is it one per block?
No, sir.
Where you have multiple boxes? It's not that many.
Not in Charleston. I didn't see that.
Okay.
In Greenville, though, they have more.
Greenville, we mentioned Greenville to you, I think, last time we discussed this. And, yeah, we did talk to them. And it's a good system, I think. They have a similar approach to the one we were kind of recommending here, which is to go to the publishers and ask them to actually manage a process, with the city's only involvement being to tell them how many boxes, where they can be located, and the look. In other words, they agree upon the look of the boxes, what kind and what color and all of that sort of thing. So those are really the three parameters that the city has decided to take a stand on, and left the rest up to the publishers to manage that system. Mm-hmm. And they've agreed to do it sort of on their own. So it's apparently working fairly well.
Yeah. Well, now that's what you're proposing here, I think. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Same type of thing. So the real question is how many boxes? I mean, that's one of the key questions.
Yes.
How many boxes?
Wendell, on one of the pages, pictures that you gave us, I guess it's in front of one of the restaurants downtown, there are boxes blocking the emergency exit.
Yes, ma'am.
Jammed up against the door itself. Somehow that seems like it's got to be breaking some type of...
It is. If we move those boxes, they tend to reappear. The two boxes that are in that photograph are not local papers. And I've asked Eddie George and some of his crew to move those particular boxes. But it's like digging a hole on the beach. It fills up as quickly as you can move them out of that particular location. But that does block a fire exit for that business.
What if you put a piece of police tape there? Just tape.
We could try that, sure.
What would happen if you removed those boxes rather than move them?
Well, if we can reach some agreement to fix the boxes or whatever, then I believe we can go in and control that. This is an issue that really didn't start overnight. It started with just a few boxes, and it has grown over some time.
Have you heard of any proposal to charge to use those boxes? Because they're going to cost us to buy them. Didn't Greenville do that?
Scott can answer the question.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening, Scott.
Actually, the newspapers and the publishers will pay for the boxes. There will be no cost to the city.
Okay. Part of
this program. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Scott, I support what is being recommended in terms of removing the boxes based on appearance. At the same time, what I was looking at was, I don't know how much these people depend on this to market their business, in order for them to stay in business. I guess they've used that as a tool to get the product out and what they're trying to sell.
Right. In the downtown area, when we started this process, there was actually 15 locations that we found that these boxes were put out. Some had just one box, and some of them had multiple boxes there. Mm-hmm. And our job was to, as the publishing group, was to narrow that down to make a recommendation. We came with 6 locations. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to make or break anybody.
Okay.
I mean, our group has recommended these spots, and we went through this process saying, okay, we could do without this one, we could do without this location, and these are the 5 or 6 viable locations that we all agree to if the council will allow us to do that.
I noticed that some sections had 9 and some had 15, and that is dependent upon how many boxes were there at the time you all did your counting,
right,
in one area.
What's actually happening is since we're moving them close together, is like Lawrence and Park, that one there, we're only going to be able to get probably 9 boxes there because of the space requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the other locations, we don't really have a space requirement, and since we're taking a lot of the other boxes from some of the other areas, we took 15 locations down to 5 locations or 6 locations.
Mm-hmm.
That's moving a lot of other people over into these other locations that are not there now. So that's the reason the locations are, some of the sizes will actually get a little bit bigger. But the spaces, we have enough space there to do that and accommodate that if the city would allow it.
They would know that.
Did you talk to Pat's about whether they would like them on the side of the building or in front of the building?
We were able to talk to all the merchants with the exception of Pat's.
What about the Bank of America?
They actually lease their property. They don't own it, so we're trying to get a hold of the leasing company.
Well, I just think that looks so ugly on the wall of that historic building, that great big old thing. But that's a beautiful building downtown.
Well, one of the nice things is the color in the picture doesn't really do it justice, because we're going to be able to paint these or have them blend in with the building.
They won't be yellow.
No, we decided to go against the bright yellow to draw attention to them. But they're actually, the city will tell us what color will match up the color that will make it look good for that location. So it should blend in. That's our goal.
I had another question about the signboards. Has that been that big a problem? Because I've had a couple of merchants who are not on Main Street who like to put them up, because we have never gotten our signs for downtown like we had last Christmas. We've never gotten them, you know, saying this is down there and this is down there like I thought we were going to do. And so they have put up some of these signboards as a way to tell people what's down the street at the corner of, at the corners, you know. Has it been a big problem?
It's not a big problem, but it's a growing, the numbers are increasing. What I'm starting to see downtown in the last year, I've paid closer attention than I guess I have in the past, is we have the paper boxes that are taking up their space, and then we have the restaurants who have tables on the sidewalk, which is covered by ordinance, and that's not a problem. That that ordinance is good, but it still takes up space. And now we're starting to see signboards, and now we're starting to see merchants put merchandise out there. All total, it's growing. Council gives us direction, and if you choose to have signboards, then that's not a problem for us.
Well, what I wish we'd do is get Betty busy and do those signs like I thought we were going to do, like we had at one point, and it's quite nice.
I think in the meantime, we need to look at this ordinance. You mentioned it before, not being very clear, for public safety to enforce. To me, that's the first step. We need to really look at that ordinance and change it the way we think it should be. And then we can work on other signs and what have you.
But merchandise,
but that's an
is a
existing
lot different
thing
than a sign.
But I agree totally with you. When I go downtown, I see the same thing you see. And I'm also seeing some other things we haven't talked about. I'm seeing more lights, more fluorescent lights and those kinds of things, which to me take away a lot and kind of ruin some of the ambiance of our downtown. There are ways, I think, to have signs without these lights, and there's even something flashing in one of the stores, I think, now, Christmas time. But it seems to me, so we can get back and make some, give some guidance here, we need to decide on how many boxes. Now, y'all have suggested 6, is that correct?
Locations.
6 locations, yeah, for a number of boxes, but to be put together like we see here, in one kind of containment.
Right.
Okay. We don't know where they are. It sounds...
Yes, we do.
Well, we don't know.
Oh.
But what I would want to see is a kind of a map of where they are. I don't think we need any more than that, personally. I think once people realize where they are, then they'll walk a block or half a block to get to the nearest boxes.
Mayor, the locations in these photographs are the proposed locations that Scott Woodward came up with. The only one that does not meet that is the one beside Lionel Smith Limited, and that was an alternative to the one that would be in front of Charlotte's dress shop.
Okay. What did you decide to do in front of the post office, where you said it doesn't necessarily have to be against the building, does it? Can it be in that same location? Just a very nice containment for your signs.
The problem, Mr. Mayor, is that That's in state right-of-way.
Okay. Well, we could ask for permission to do that.
We could. We haven't approached them, but keep in mind, if we do this, we'd be doing permanent structures. Right now, you just have... I don't think they're permanent there.
No.
Well, the state might...
They could be moved, though, should the case ever come up and have to be moved.
I'm just suggesting that until we talk to them, we don't know whether they would permit us to do that. But the post office would have a problem with it. It's not on their property.
But to me, that's the messiest place. Of course, it's not downtown, and it's not crowding out any walkway, anything like that. But that's just... There must be at least 18 or maybe 20-some down there.
The ones in Greenville are on the road. The ones that I saw are not against buildings. They're out at the edge of the sidewalk. Wouldn't that be state right-of-way as well?
That is.
If we placed them on right-of-way in front of the post office, I would suggest that they are split into maybe two sections.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anything would look nicer than it is now. All stretched out there, half a block almost. Not a half a block, but a long way.
All we have to do is get their permission. We could just go ahead and ask for a highway permit to do that, and I imagine they would go ahead and grant that because they have other locations.
Yeah. Could you come back with us then with something formal on showing the locations? You know, just a plan view of the city, showing the locations and the six, if that's what you recommend, where you recommend putting them, and then with the ordinance change.
Certainly.
We work on that ordinance so council has something really to look at that we can look at on our agenda maybe the next meeting.
And again, tonight we were just trying to get direction and make sure we're going in the direction that you want us to go in.
Right.
And if you feel comfortable with what we're doing, then we'll move forward with it.
Well, I do. Does others? Anybody else have any comments?
Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you.
Good job.
Thank you, Scott and Bill and Wendell, for all your work. This is good. Okay, anybody need to take a break? If not, we'll move right into our city council meeting. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to our Aiken City Council meeting, November 28th, 2005. We appreciate everyone being here this evening. We've got a lot of interesting items on our agenda. As we start our meeting, if you would please stand with us for our prayer and our pledge.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time of the year. We're thankful for the freedoms that we have, for the great city, for the ability to talk about issues openly, to receive information, and to act on it accordingly. We're thankful for the many wonderful citizens we have who are willing to reach out to others and provide meals as we did on Thanksgiving Day at one table, and for all that they were there. We're thankful, Lord, for those that are willing to come forward to be elected as officials to run the city and for the staff. And most of all, Lord, we're just thankful for this great town that you've given each and every one of us to live in. Just bless the proceedings that we have today. Give us ears to hear all that you'd want, and give us discernment and wisdom as we look at each and every direction to take. We ask this all in your name. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions necessary to our agenda this evening? If not, do we have a motion and a second to accept the agenda as written?
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve the agenda.
Okay. All right. Second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. First item is consideration of the minutes of the work session in the regular meeting of November 14th, 2005. Any changes necessary there or comments?
Mr. Mayor, I move for approval of the minutes.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Pass this unanimously. Under presentations, we have two this evening. The first one is going to be a presentation to Pat Cunning. And this is our opportunity now to roast. So anybody in the audience wants to roast Pat, you can do that too.
No, Mr. Mayor, we got people from Jim Lake here, so we don't have time.
I know. Well, we're open from council. Any thoughts you might want to give at this point in time? Pat, I'll just say that, you know, we've said this a number of times already, but we're going to miss you. We thank you for your service to the city, to your friendship that we've all had together, and we just appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate what you've done. You've really brought a talent to the council. Your land planning abilities have been outstanding, and so we're going to, needless to say, we're going to miss you, and we appreciate these 4 years that you've been with us very much. And I do have something to present you, but let's see if there are any other comments first. And I suspect others will have some comments.
Well, I would like to say just a few words, Pat. It's been really a pleasure working with you these 4 years. There were people who thought that we might be on opposite sides all the time 4 years ago. But in fact, the truth is, even before I came on council, Pat and I were able to sit down and talk about things. And we've been able to do that all through these 4 years. I think he is a man who knows land development very well. He's got a lot of smarts on those issues. And he was also able to craft compromises for which I will always be grateful.
Thank you, Dick.
Thank you.
Pat, I've enjoyed working with you. Now that you're in charge out there, I got a pond I want to go fishing in. I need to talk to you about it. Roger and I got been eyeing that pond, but it's been a pleasure working with you, and I wish you good luck in your new venture.
Thank you.
Right.
Pat, I think it's really been 6 years, hasn't it?
Almost, yeah.
It just flew, didn't it?
I think you know.
Keeping us informed of what's cooking, because you always do. I appreciate that and appreciate what you've done.
Thank you.
Well, Pat, I thought maybe that we would miss Michael Anacleria so much when he left, because he brought so much to council. And then you came, and you were a pretty good expert at a lot of things, especially banking and financing and land planning. And I want to thank you for your contributions there. But, you know, I already knew that you were a wonderful man, because I knew your children. And I must say to you that you have a wonderful family, and I hope you get to spend a little bit more time with the boys and with your wife, because I think they're wonderful as they are, but I think they're much deserving of that.
Thank you.
And I thank you for your time.
Pat, I don't know whether I'm going to miss you or not.
The truth comes out. Roger's next.
In all kidding aside, you have brought a uniqueness that I think all of us have admired, and some of that has already been stated today. But and I know your wife hears this all the time, what is quite unique about you that I have enjoyed is your laughter. Pat has a laughter that is a happy laugh. You know, sometimes we fake a laugh, but Pat has a happy laugh. But he's also brought many talents to us. And I've been personally inspired by some of the things that you've brought, some of the ideas, as we've worked together with ABVA and other things with the city. So you are going to be missed. I've already asked him whether he wanted to volunteer for some more boards with council. But we'll see you around, I'm sure.
I'm sure. I'll be here.
You'll be missed.
Pat, to the thing that I'd just like to say is I really appreciate how you've really challenged us, especially challenging myself and the staff members on many occasions. And sometimes you don't want to appreciate those things, but in the long run, we really do appreciate that. And probably something that very few people have ever said about you, I appreciate your sensitivity and how you are sensitive to the issues and the individuals behind it and how your decisions will affect people long term. And that's really made a difference as more and more citizens come forward to want to be heard and for you to be able to listen and to hopefully always in your heart make the decision that you think is best for the rest of the city. But I really always look behind the man and I see Maureen.
That's true.
And she's the one that I also like to thank for allowing us to have him here for these over 5 years. And because it's not just the time to sit here at the table, but there's many hours you're in my office or we were out tromping through the field looking at things and just conversations that you had with many individuals. And so thank you for allowing us to have you here.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, Mayor, I've enjoyed the 5.5 years, almost 6 actually, and but one thing I do appreciate, though, we have disagreed, but I don't think we were ever disagreeable. I think we all ended up friends. And, Dick, I knew about a year ago that it was time for me to get off council because you and I were agreeing so much that this team and Dick.
Well, he's not.
All of you have been great to work with. I know in your own way, each of you care deeply about the city, and I think you all know that I do too. I was born and raised in this city. We have a wonderful city. I'd like to thank our city manager, and I also like to thank the greatest city clerk in the whole USA. And also to our great employees. Folks, they're the ones that make this place go. They are the best. They work hard. I don't think we appreciate them. So if you see them, even the police officers that may stop you, tell them thank you for what they do because they work extremely hard. And really, we take them for granted. And I know December's coming and we thank them. But they, folks, they really do a good job. And all you folks from Jim Lake, you're going to appreciate them even more, I hope. I would also like to thank the citizen of Aiken for their support over the last 5.5 years. And finally, I want to thank my beautiful wife and my children. Brian's here, and my sister, both my sisters, Sally and Nick, Catherine and Mike are here. But I really want to thank my wife. She's put up with me for the last 5.5 years on this job, but on the last 32 years, which has not been easy, believe me, folks. But now I'm just going to take my nameplate and go home. So,
We recycle those.
You're going to put another name on here.
Pat, if you would come over here in the middle, and if council would get behind, let me read the plaque. Yeah, just right up here. And maybe we could get a picture of all of us in it. Gary, get in too.
Roger, come on.
Come on now. No. Get in here, Roger.
Come on.
Come here. Come on.
This is what it looks like, y'all. Presented to Patrick D. Cutting, Councilman 2000 to 2005, in grateful appreciation for outstanding leadership, creativity, sensitivity, and dedicated service to the citizens of Aiken, requiring a personal sacrifice of time and commitment from the mayor, city council, and city manager, November 28, 2005. Thank you.
You're
going to
do a good job.
That's right. Pat, you know you can hang around the rest of the meeting. Let me ask the family to stand up, please. I see Maureen and Sally, Mary, Catherine, all the family members.
Huh? Oh, okay. Don't forget the cake.
The second item under presentations is a Gold Cup presentation. Mr. LeDuc, would you lead into that, please?
Yes, sir. The Gold Cup Championship was held in Aiken for the first time this year, first of hopefully many, many times, during basically the whole month of September and ended in October 2nd. And we have a presentation tonight by a couple of the committee members who would like to present you with an autographed poster and a portfolio in appreciation of our support. Remind council that we did support them. We gave them $41,500 for some of their marketing, which hopefully that helped, and hopefully we could do something like that in the future. So Todd Stilk is here, I know, today, and Sarah Eakin. And
would you all come on up, please? Thank you. Todd, go ahead, sir.
Okay, my name is Todd Stilk, and I had the pleasure of working with four girls. Three or four days a week for the past almost 9 months to put the Gold Cup on. I have Sarah Eakin, who co-chaired it with me, Kara Flanders. We had Tina McCarthy, Janet Morris with ADA, and Dagger Storker, who are on the group with me. What we'd like to do is, at this point in time, present you with a poster that was signed by the two semifinal teams during the Gold Cup. And also, we have some portfolio basically was just a sampling of some of the national and international publications that promoted Aiken in different articles, which we used some of the accommodation tax money with. And we have some of the biggest magazines have yet to come out. And when they do come out, we'll present those with you. And once again, also the city, even though the bulk of the festivities of the Gold Cup took place in the county, I think one of the accolades that we've heard from people from all over the world that came here was just what a wonderful city of Aiken was. And they're just amazed at the community in the downtown area in particular, how just it was just something picture perfect. I think one of the things that surprised me the most was a gentleman that heads up an online polo. Was it Polo Online? And he's a gentleman from France. And normally he does not go to a lot of these tournaments and stuff, but everybody told him how unique Aiken was and the publicity that we had prior to it, that he himself came over here. And he took it upon himself not only to stay just for one or two days of the tournament, he ended up staying almost a week and a half. And he made a point to take the bus tour throughout the whole district. He went to the museums. He went all over. He was just amazed by this town. And also the Sidelines, which is a national magazine and an international magazine for the horse industry across the board. This past month, it just came out. The letter to the editor, the editor herself wrote an article on how unique the city of Aiken was and how it embraced the Polo Cup and how the whole community got behind it. And it's something that they felt as has been lost in polo in years gone by, and that it's just become so commercialized, and it's just people just come do what they have to do and leave. And they were just amazed at how the community and the city of Aiken just embraced this, not only on the field, but also the people that were here in town. And a lot of these people were here for anywhere from a week to 4 or 5 weeks. And some of them still have lingered in town to play polo in the fall season. So I'd like to present you with this poster and this portfolio.
Let me come over.
And we will get you some of the future magazines.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah. So stay here. We need some beauty in here. Sure. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Todd, let me just add that I had heard from one of the realtors in town that the visitors that came into town were so pleased with our town that they had purchased property, real estate. And that was outstanding to know that with this one visit, this town offered so much that they decided to purchase property and have their horse farm here. So, farms, I should say.
Yeah, I would like to point out, we are planning to go up again for next year. And We will be coming back and helping you some more accommodations. You are right. There has not been a day that has not gone by that we have not been approached by someone between probably the four or five key members of this team. The people have said that people have bought land and are coming back to Aiken, mm-hmm. and have farms in there. So it's really something that's involving. And the nice thing about it is they just love downtown Aiken. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Todd, let me just say, I had the pleasure with Roger and some others to sit in on the first meeting. Remember that, Sarah? And when we were first talking about it, and it was exciting from the start, and it was tremendous. For those who went out to see it, I'm sure you would agree. Those who missed it, be sure to go next year. But it was wonderful, the tournament. It's a great asset for our community. It's a great event for our community, and. I talked with a gentleman who, and it may have been the same photographer, I don't know, but he goes all over the country and the world, for that matter, photographing, and talked to him about where it was held before. We talked about where it was held up in the Northeast, and how limited the number of people were that even came to see it. And he turned around and looked at the crowd, out there and said, this is the place it needs to be. So we're hopeful that it'll be here as a permanent site after next year, after the decisions are made. So we certainly welcome that in our community. As polo has been played here, since 1882, mm-hmm. and consistently. So we appreciate what the committee did. It was a very organized committee. They all did a super job. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for these things. Next item is election report of the Election Commission.
To Mayor Kavanaugh and to members of Council, to our City Manager, Mr. LeDuc, City Attorney, Mr. Smith, to the citizens of the City of Aiken, the Municipal Election Commission wishes to make its report. Date, November 28, 2005, to City Council, from Municipal Election Commission. Subject, general election. The City of Aiken was scheduled to conduct a general election on Tuesday, November 8, 2005, to fill four expiring seats on City Council, two summer member district seats and two at-large seats. The election was scheduled to be conducted under the newly revised redistricting 421 summer member district plan 2003. Notification of the election was made public through newspaper advertising as prescribed by law. One candidate filed for single member district 2 and one candidate filed for single member district 4. Four candidates filed for the two at-large seats. Therefore, a primary election was necessary. The Republican Party primary was conducted on Tuesday, September 13, 2005. The candidates' name on the ballots were K. Beerman Bell, Rocky L. Napier, Jane Vortis, and Don Wells. The winners in the primary election were Jane Vortis and Don Wells. A state law enacted by the South Carolina General Assembly, Section 2, Section 7-13-190, which states, if a municipality has an upcoming election for one seat or multiple seats, and the same number of candidates file as the number of seats, and no one filed as a write-in candidate or as a petition candidate within 14 calendar days after the filing period closes, a general election will not be necessary. The closing date for filing as a write-in candidate was 12 noon, Monday, August 22, 2005. Closing date for as a petition candidate was Friday, October 7th, 2005. Therefore, with only one candidate filing for each seat up for election and no one filing as a write-in candidate or as a petition candidate, the City of Aiken Municipal Election Commission, based upon State Law Section 2, Section 7-1-13-190, does hereby certify the election of Leslie B. Price as City Council Person for District 2, Richard Smith as City Council Person for District 4, and Jane Walters and Don Wells as City Council Person for the two at-large seats. Their term of office shall be for a period of 4 years. Respectfully submitted, Municipal Election Commission, Richard Johnson Jr., H.A. McLaren, and Keith R. Woods. Mr. Mayor and Council, that concludes our report. Unless there are questions, we'll entertain questions should there be any.
Are there any questions for Council? Richard, we want to thank you very much for your leadership there, chairmanship, and also Mac McLaren is on is one of the members, and I don't think Keith might not be here, but we appreciate your work too, Mac. Richard, thank you so much.
Okay, Mayor, thank you, and thanks, Mac and Keith, and also the city staff, Mr. Luke, Sarah Rideout, and Susan. Thank you so much. And
thank you, Richard. Do we have a motion and a second to accept this report?
I so move, Mr. Mayor.
Richard, did you have something?
I'm sorry, just for a week till you.
Okay, fine. Yeah, hang in there. Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passage unanimous. Okay, sir. Thank you. The next item is the swearing in of the newly elected officials. If y'all would go down front, Jane and Leslie and Dick and Don, yeah.
Congratulations to each one. Several have family members here. Would the family members please stand up for Jane and for Don Wells? Monica, I know you're here. And any others? Because we all know that we couldn't do a job without the support of our families. So that's wonderful to see them here. Congratulations.
congratulations to each of you. Look forward to working again together here. Don, welcome to you as a new person on the block, so to speak. Under old business, the first item has to do with appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir, we have several appointments tonight. Councilwoman Price would like to recommend the reappointment of T.A. Hammonds to the Park Commission, Lawrence Ogletree to the BZA, and she would like to recommend that Frank Boatwright, it's a new appointment to the General Aviation Commission to replace Ronnie Bolton, and Joe Daniels, a new appointment to the Planning Commission to replace Roscoe Stanley. Don Wells would like to appoint Craig Jarvis to the General Aviation Commission to replace Robert Haythorne, and to reappoint Henry Krippner to the BZA. These are the six appointments before Council tonight.
Okay. Is there any reason why we shouldn't take these all at one time? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Second.
Second, okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. Okay, passes unanimously. While we're here on this item, are there any other nominations to be made?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a recommendation that Lynn Henry be appointed to the Design Review Board to replace outgoing Leland Reynolds. Leland is to be commended. I think he has served over 11 years on the Design Review Board, and I'd like to thank him for that as well.
Okay. Lynn Henry? I have two reappointments. Lee Boylston to the Board of Zoning Appeals. And Joan Bristol to the Park Commission. These are nominations, and they would come up for on our agenda for at our next meeting. Any others? Okay.
If we don't appoint them tonight, then it won't be. They can't take office until January, right? Probably then.
We have one meeting in December.
Actually, if you don't appoint them tonight, they won't take office till late January, because they wouldn't come up till the January meeting.
Well, our policy has been if there is a time period in there before you get the new member, that the old one stays on.
That's right. So. Okay.
Okay. Any other nominations? If not, that closes that out. Okay. Item two, appointments to the Powder House Connector Committee. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Several months ago, Council, along with the County Council, appointed three individuals to serve from the city on the connector roadway between Whiskey Road and Powder House. Our three appointments were Beverly Clyburn, Pat Cunning, and Dick Smith. With Pat Cunning leaving, Council could either decide to ask Pat to continue, since this committee will finish their business in the next couple of months, and that would then provide continuity, or you could provide someone else to serve on that committee. I have talked to Pat Cunning. I know a couple of you also have, and he is willing to continue if you so desire.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Mr. Mayor, I'd also like to get a replacement for me.
I'm sorry.
I'd also like to ask that someone replace me. I work much later than I'm able to attend these meetings.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take this one first, okay, and then we'll take the other one. It's my opinion that Pat has served. He's been consistent. He has a desire to continue until it's, the recommendation comes back to both councils, the county and the city. So it's my feeling we ought to allow him to continue. There's no ordinance saying it's got to be a sitting city council meeting member. So do we have a motion and second to do that?
I would be happy to move that motion.
And second it.
Okay. Any other discussion on that one? If not, show of hands, please. Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Now, Beverly, you would like to...
If If another member of council would like to serve on this committee, I would certainly like to ask them at this time to be appointed.
You've been at some of the meetings.
I have.
Would it be too much to ask that you stay for February? you know your business.
Yeah, I do.
But I think it'll be, I think that's the time in which they hope to have the recommendations finished, Dick. Is that correct?
I'm sorry.
The committee will have the recommendations in priority order to submit.
Prioritizing of how we're going to carry on the rest of the study.
Okay.
That will be done tomorrow at the.
But the whole thing that the committee is doing, do you think it would be finished in February?
Yes.
Okay, that. Beverly, whatever you desire to do.
Hang in there, Beth.
Would you like to appoint, have someone?
I would like to have someone else replace me if that's all.
Okay,
at
all.
All
right. Is there someone that
really,
excuse me?
As I think about it, again, the reason, Beverly, you were serving is because part of your district does.
Which is not affected by it.
Yeah. And so perhaps we could ask Don Wells, as a resident of District 4, which is South Side, it is affected, if you'd be willing to serve.
Mr. Mayor, I would be willing to serve on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have a motion then in the second for that?
I'd like to so move.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor? Okay. So Don is the new appointee there. Yeah. They meet tonight, don't they, at midnight?
5:30 tomorrow.
Well, it's not till tomorrow. See, that makes that sound better.
It will be here to midnight.
We'll ask Mr. Evans to get together a package for you that we could drop off tomorrow so you get some review on this.
Okay, moving on to item 3, appointment of City Council representative to the Aiken Corporation. Mr. LeDuc, please.
City Council has two permanent seats on the Aiken Corporation Executive Committee. Leslie Price currently fills one of those positions. Pat Cunning has been the other appointment since he replaced Mike Anaclario on that group. Council at their last meeting discussed two possible individuals who might want to serve, and that was Councilman Don Sprawls and Councilwoman Jane Waters. So tonight, Council needs to make a decision as to who you would like to appoint to the Aiken Corporation, which is a very active committee here in the city.
Okay, thank you, sir. Last meeting, I mentioned Don Sprawls, and then Dick, you mentioned Jane. The reason I thought my thinking on this was that Don has been a very active member on the ADDA, and also that puts him on the board of the Aiken Corporation. And I thought if there was any opportunity to move into the executive committee of the board, that it ought to be Don, since he's put in time, he's worked hours, and he knows there's some consistency there of what's been going on. And then that would open up the slot on the ADDA for an appointment. So I wanted to explain my rationale, because I don't think I really did it last meeting when we were talking about it. But it's kind of like hiring a city manager. We didn't go out and hire a city manager. We took the good person we had in line already, and happened to be this guy. So I'm glad we did. But that was my rationale, Dick, when
no. Mr. Bayer, I understand that. I'm sure that Don has worked hard in the ADDA and has been on the over, and it was required, if you remember, the ADDA to be on the Aiken Corporation Board, but in fact he was on the General Board, which really meets once a year, so it's not really gaining a great deal of experience. I put Jane's name before you because she is an at-large council person. She has got a great number of the voters of Aiken who participate in elections behind her, and I really do believe that we need some new representation on the Aiken Corporation Board. They do a lot of good things. I admire a lot that they've done. Everybody knows, however, that I haven't always admired everything that they want to do. And I think Jane is in the same boat, and I really do think it's better that we don't have everyone always on the same page. We need a voice that can give other opinions, and that's really why I have recommended that Jane be on the Aiken Corporation Board. She has also served her time. She's done 4 darn good years on this council and was elected with a very good margin again. So yeah. That's my rationale. There's one other thing, Mr. Mayor. Your rationale, I think we both discovered, is we don't really have the right to appoint someone to the ADDA. It's really up to the ADDA. They don't have the same rules that the Aiken Corporation does.
Yeah, I understand that, and we've had an appointee, though. We've had a person from the council, so I don't know why in the world they wouldn't consider. Well, it's just a matter of deciding. I told you my rationale, and I think Don deserves to be on the executive board. He's put in a lot of time there, and he's worked hard. He's come to the meetings, and then the other slot would be open for Jane or anyone else that we would nominate. So I move that we appoint Don Sprawls to the executive board of the Aiken Corporation to fill in the slot for Pat Cunning. That's my motion.
I'll second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Opposed? Okay. Well, it passes 4-2. Okay. All right.
That was gracious.
Before we go on to this next item, which might take more than 5 minutes, let me recognize Boy Scout Troop 121 that's here. We always enjoy our visitors when they come, especially our Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and those. Mike Williams and Tracy Price. Where's Tracy?
In the back.
Oh, he's hiding back there. Okay, Tracy. Okay. Hey, guys, tell us who you are. Will you speak loud and tell us your names?
My name is Matthew Franklin. Alan Harden.
David Robbins.
Alan Kelly.
Okay. And why are you here tonight? Oops. Excuse me.
Aaron Brown.
I can't hear it.
Aaron Brown.
Aaron, okay.
Ashley Brown.
Ashley? Why are you here tonight?
We're working on their batch.
Could it be communications? Well, after tonight, seeing how well we communicate up here and with our citizens, we're glad to have you here. And anything that we can do out of the meeting, you know, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to call us if we can help you. Your citizenship, too. Have you worked on your citizenship badge yet?
I already have it.
Huh? You already have it? Good. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being Boy Scouts. And we have some Eagles, too, I'm sure, one of these days, if not already. Okay. Thanks for coming. Okay, item 4, resolution for purchase of the Jim Lakes sewer system. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. For over a year now, we've been working with the Jim Lakes residents to hopefully help them out and the purchase of the current sewer system, which about 15 months ago they received a surprise with the notification that the cost for the sewer service was going to go up substantially. In discussing this with a group of citizens from Gem Lakes, it was decided that the best proposal would be for us to buy it and that they in turn would pay the city back over a period of time. We spent the last 12 months or so trying to get Carolina Utilities, which is Utilities Inc. out of Northbrook, Illinois, right outside of Chicago, to sell us a system at a price that we thought would be reasonable. After about 9 months, we found out that they were not going to sell it at a price that we thought would be a little bit more reasonable, and finally was settled to purchase it at $800,000. We met with citizens on more than two occasions, the last one being about a month ago, and explained what we were doing and how we were doing it. And a question was asked of the 80 or so residents that were there, did you want us to move forward? And everyone that was present that night in the audience said, yes, move forward with the purchase of the system. What is before you tonight is a resolution. We told the citizens over a year ago that before we would go ahead and consider the second reading of the annexation, we wanted to give them some assurance that the city council was willing to go forward with the loan and therefore the purchase of the system for them, and that we would be willing then to take it over. One thing has come up in between this time, and the fact is that state law requires us to have an election that the residents within the city would go ahead and approve the purchase of the system. I personally feel that's more of a procedural matter, but it also is very important that the citizens have an opportunity to vote on this and to have the citizens that live in Gem Lakes be part of that voting process. So before tonight, we have actually a two-step process. The first one is going to be a resolution to purchase the system, and then right after that, we have the second reading of the annexation, and I'll get into that in just a minute. The particulars on the purchase would be there are three variables. The price that we're paying with Utilities, Inc. would be $800,000. We know that there's going to have to be some repairs. We're hoping it's very minimal, but within that, there's $100,000 allotted towards repairs. If we don't spend that amount, then certainly that would not be part of the loan. But let's say that the repairs amounted to $20,000 to do a replacement of some of the sewer line with new sewer line. Then the final price would be $820,000. That would be what the loan would be based on. It's set for 15 years. It would be on a variable interest rate. We currently receive interest on the money through a pool with all the other cities and counties in the state of South Carolina. It's called the South Carolina Investment Pool. Currently, during the month of October, the last month that we had a rate was 3.78% is what we receive on our investment. So that will vary from year to year depending on what is the general interest rate nationally. Just about 9 months ago, we were down at under 2%. I can remember a time when we were up close to 5%. We also, in this, generally City Council has placed, when we had these type of loans, a 1% administrative cost for us to go ahead and do all of our accounting, because this is going to have to be audited from year to year. I would suggest that we do not use 1%, but go with a 0.5% for administrative costs. When we look at all those things together, plus the fact that we have around 305 customers now, we think it could be as high as 315 eventually. We figure the monthly cost would be somewhere between $21.50 and $23 a month for the citizens. So again, that would be varied, and we would figure the interest rate on a yearly basis. So we'd average the interest that we're getting at the state level, determine what that interest rate, and that's what they'd be charged on a regular basis. As city residents on our sewer system, their sewer would be based on the amount of water that you would use. So how we work that with our residents here in the city, we take the measurements of January, February, and March, what we consider your three lowest months of the year. It used to be December, January, and February. A number of citizens said they had kids come home from college, we had a lot of guests come in town, and we're using a lot of sewage, or actually using a lot of water, which reduced the sewage. And so we went to January, February, and March. So every April, we determine what that rate would be, and then that's what you're charged for the next 12 months until we re-average it again. And so that would be how those citizens would be have their sewage rate determined. So they'd have two charges. One would be a sewer rate, and then there would be a surcharge for the purchase of the system. Within the resolution, also would allow that if an individual, we had a couple of individuals come up and said, you know, we don't want to mess with that monthly payment. Plus, if something ever happened to me, I wouldn't want my family to be involved with it. Or when I sell a house, could we just pay it off all at one time? So we do have a proposal in there that if they want to pay a lump sum payment without penalty, they could certainly do that. So for your consideration tonight, this is approval of a resolution to purchase the sewer system and gem links from Utilities Incorporated for $800,000, subject to a special election approval by the citizens of Aiken. That would probably take place sometime in late January, early February. We need to talk to the Election Commission and set the date for that. But we got to give approximately 60 days notice in the paper on setting that date.
Thank you, sir. Is anyone in the audience, before we take a vote here, would like to make any comments about this or say anything about it? Yes, sir? Would you come up, if you want to, come up to the mic, please. Tell us your name and where you live.
We'll have public hearing on the annexation.
Yeah.
My name is Ed Seifer. I live at 2 Sandpiper Place in Jim Lakes. This might sound like a stupid question, but what happens if the citizens decide they don't want to buy the sewer system?
If that happens, and I think that's a very remote thing, because generally in special elections you have only a few hundred people cast votes. Pat Cunningham and I were talking about that when they had a special election for the council seat. There was, I believe, less than 500 people that voted in that election. But if that happens, then we'd have to go back, and certainly Utilities Inc. would still own it and still be operating it, and we'd have to see if there's some other way that we could work with you.
Okay.
But we would not be able to purchase it based on the results, okay, if that was the case.
Subsequent to, you're going to have a vote on the second reading for the annexation. I heard it was going to be effective December 1st. Then do new utility rates apply then for our water and fire water and those kind of things?
And I'll get into that in the next.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Ann. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, if not, it's back to council. Do we have a motion and a second?
I have a question regarding...
Can we get into questions after we get a motion and a second? Or do you want to ask first?
Well, this only applies to the $800,000 in addition to the $100,000 for repair. Should that not be a part of the agreement? The agreement only says
This resolution is authorizing us to buy from United Utilities Company. So in other words, the company that we're buying from is for $800,000. The loan, that will be a separate issue once that approval is made by the voters, which will, in other words, if in February we have a vote, 1st of February, and they approve it, then we will set up a loan agreement at that time. But I want to let everybody know what that loan agreement would say prior to this. But right now, all we're voting on is to buy it from Utilities, Inc.
And $100,000 in repairs on us.
No, the loan could be anywhere from $800,000, we know, is what we'd have to be paying Utilities Incorporated. It could be as high as $900,000 if we have to make lots and lots of repairs. We set a maximum of $900,000. Anything over $900,000 we'd be paying for, and anything that happened outside of a one-year period. In talking to our public works director, we think that there will probably be much less than $100,000. But we did want to give some the worst-case scenario.
Okay. Did you make a motion then, Leslie?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
There's a second.
Okay. Question?
I just have kind of a question about the whole sequence of events. So we vote on this, and then we're going to vote tonight on the second reading to annex.
Correct.
But they're not going to vote until February on whether they want
it could be as early as January, it could be early February.
And the question is whether they want to buy the system or pay.
That'll be going before the citizens.
Well, am I missing something? It just seems to me the annexation is a little, I mean, if they don't buy the system,
the problem is if
they still want to be annexed. That's my question.
The individuals, if for some reason they would not have an opportunity to vote, and it's very important that you get as many people out as possible. If you have 300 residents, and let's say there's two voting members at each resident, that's 600 positive votes right there.
Thank you. I need that. Thank you. So they can vote. That's the point. Okay.
That's more than we usually have it with a special election. If they can get out 600 votes, that's probably more than we've ever had before in a special election.
I bet you might.
That's why I feel pretty confident that it'll be approved.
Right. Any other comments?
Did we get a second?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we do have a second. Any other thoughts? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Purchase of the system? Okay, passes unanimously. Okay. Item 5 is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex properties in Jim Lake's subdivision. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, this one's probably a little bit more difficult than the first one. Council's going to have to make a decision based on this ordinance. This is an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the City of Lake and certain properties located in Jim Lake subdivision and to zone the same single-family residential RS-15. Now, if you turn that page and you look at the ordinance itself, you have two sections at the bottom of the page. One is Section 1A, the other one is Section 1B. Council in the past has, in most cases that I could think of in the past history, has gone by a petition method. But at the last meeting we had, there was a lot of discussion that you possibly want to go to by the 75% rule. Therefore, our city attorney put in both options, and you will have to choose option either 1A or 1B. 1A is stating that under this law that this would be a petition before you, of which you have received approximately 87% of the land and 86% of the homeowners of the possible 332 lots are there, and therefore you're going to be, and tell me if I'm saying this right, annexing it by the 75% method, Section 1A. Because you are over that 75%, you do have the right to annex the entire area. The next one, which is what you have approved on first reading, says that you would annex them by the petition method. The mayor and I were talking earlier today about the last time you had a fairly significant annexation, and that was out in Virginia Acres. If council, those that were on council in the late 90s, council went ahead and spent several hundred thousand dollars providing an incentive to individuals in the county areas, asking that if you were willing to sign a petition to annex the city would give you up to 3 years of your taxes at that time, 50% was at the time you signed a petition, 50% when you annexed. After evaluating that, after a couple of years, council decided to no longer approve that methodology for annexation. Instead, you said, let's go into areas that did not have certain services and provide the services, and hopefully, if you build it, they will come. In the Virginia Acres area, you use that process, and the Originally, we did not have that many people that signed an annexation petition, but we had about 15, 16 people after a lot of hard effort by our planning department. Since that time, the mayor asked today how many people have annexed since that original petition came in Virginia Acres, and Sarah looked it up. I thought it was between 15 and 20. She told me tonight it was 21 individuals that in the last 2 years have actually come back in after seeing the services were there and the improvements we made and came forward little by little. So that's how that one worked. Council certainly has the ability to use either method that you like, the 75%, the 100%. The third choice is you don't have to annex it at all. The citizens, in talking to obviously the majority of them, we have 87% that would like to come in. We gave you tonight petitions. These are two more that would be added to the petition that we just received today from two individuals, Donna Lise Betancourt and Gary and Kathleen Ware. Have both, so this would be added. If you go with the petition method, that would be added to it. Since we've taken the vote back last March, we did have two other individuals that, because they were moving, and one had just moved in, one had sold their house, and they are included in the annexation, that have asked that their names be withdrawn from the petition. So we have two additions tonight, and then we have a couple that have withdrawn since last March. Council did consider it at their first reading last spring to annex this area. You could annex up to 332 properties, and you'll have to decide tonight as you look at this after the public hearing whether you want to use Section 1A. Again, Section 1A would be using the 75% method, and all 332 lots would be annexed, or Section 1B, which would be the petition method.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is the second reading and public hearing of this ordinance, so if there's anyone in the audience that wants to speak, you're certainly welcome to do so. Let me suggest, let's start on this side, kind of go back, across the back, and up this way, for anyone that wants to speak. We're certainly here to listen. So is anyone up in the first four or five rows? There's a hand back there. Okay, sir, why don't you come on up? If you would, tell us your name and your address, if you would, please.
My name is Mike Roshar, and I live at 1923 Huckleberry Drive. I just have a few questions, and first of all, I'd like to thank the council members and the mayor for their hard work on this project, and obviously it's a very important issue for all of the Jim Lakes community. I'm a new member to Jim Lakes, and I'm actually on the septic side that doesn't really have the issue with the sewer. And I'm not really sure. I'd just like to ask the question, is the entire property being considered for the members that have the septic tanks?
And Rachel, if you could let us know, I believe that Huckleberry is not part of the annexation. So, no, you would not be considered part of that 332 lots.
And that would be including with the 100% rule?
That is correct. Okay. If they went by the 100% or, the 75% rule and annexed all 332 lots, Huckleberry is not within that area.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Easy question. Good. Is anyone else? Yes, sir. Thank you, Rachel.
Roger, I just want to know if we are annexed and if it's effective after the second reading, when would we receive services at city rates? Do we pay taxes this year? Do you give us a break till next year, hopefully?
I apologize, you asked that question and should have answered it.
Tomorrow.
The tax bills go out either tomorrow or the next day, and you would not receive your first tax bill from the city of Aiken until next November or December. So you would be in the city for approximately 1 year before you'd actually get your first tax bill on your property. Now, if your car
came up for renewal in January, or you're bold or whatever it might be, then you would receive that immediately at that time. As of December 1st, those that become annexed, again, depending which method council uses, we are prepared. Correct, Anita? We are prepared. I just want to make sure she gives me the high sign here. To send out a bill in a couple of days that would reduce your water in half, remove the fire fee. We will start recycling and the yard trash and police service immediately. Now, we call up Tyler. Some of you have service through December, some of them into January. And we told Tyler that we would work with them. Because that's going to be a major loss for them, and that we would go ahead and allow that their contract to continue until whenever your bill is. So we'll have to work with each of you individually, but we'll then start giving you roll cards from the city for that collection. But otherwise, all those other services would begin as of December 1st with your new water bill that you'll be receiving probably on Thursday or Friday.
What about the sewer bill?
Yeah, now the sewer bill, until we actually purchase the system, so let's say the election occurs the 1st of February as a date, it will probably take a couple more weeks before we could actually consummate the actual exchanging of the property. Now, they are tying onto the city sewer system probably within the next few weeks. The tie is down there already. We've sent a letter to DHEC letting them know that everything is good from our part, and so we would expect that the sewage that has been going into the lagoon for the last 40 years will be coming through our city system sometime during the month of December. But you'd be paying Utilities Inc. until the time that we purchase the system, and at which time the following month and you'd be getting a sewer bill from us. And again, it would be based on those 3 months of averaging of your sewage. That I couldn't answer. That's something between you and probably them and PSC. I would think that those of you that have been working with them, they would have to go before PSC to go ahead and get any kind of a rate increase. And maybe they won't do it because it's going to be such a short period of time. Let's hope so.
Okay, anyone else in the back coming on up this way? Yes, sir.
I'm David Hartman. I live at 135 Springwood Drive. And good evening, gentlemen and ladies. I just like to express my desires to still remain on the Section 1B, which is a choice of being annexed. In time, I may request annexation, but when we came here, we made a determination to be in the county, and we had an opportunity to live in the city as well, but we chose the county. So I'd like to be able to keep that freedom if I could. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Anyone else? Yes, sir? I didn't move fast enough, I see.
I'm John Strickland. I live at 116 Savannah Drive. Whose council district will we be in?
The council district, more than likely, because the continuity would probably be in Councilmember Smith's. At some point in time, we're going to have to go ahead and relook at that and make some adjustments. But generally, that's not done until the census is taken and we get the full review. There could be a possibility that we could put you into the third district, but that's not likely because again, there's no continuity with that area.
Which one do you want to be in, John?
I would do a little more negotiating. Send me another.
Okay. Anyone else who'd like to speak? Yes, sir?
Good evening. My name is Swede Sundstrom. I live at 602 Chestnut Court. I'd like to thank the mayor and the city council for all their help on this project. And I have one general question I'd like to ask for directions. What office can I go to ask a question on zoning at the north end of Aiken County? Who could I
call? Is it in the county or is it in the city?
It's in the county.
It's in the county?
It's up near Mineta.
Oh, in Mineta.
Yes. You would have to go to the county planning department, either in Kelmia Plaza, or you give a call to them. Now, they do not have much zoning other than urban and rural areas, but that'd be the area that I would direct you to. That'd be correct.
Mm-hmm. It's a little too free up there is what I'm...
Gary Bunker. Gary, put you on the spot here. Gary's the county councilman. Do you know whose district that is right off the bat? It's near Mineta. Is that what you said, sir?
Yes.
They'll probably be Kathy Rawls.
Right.
Kathy Rawls. R-A-W-L-S.
Thank you.
And you can also call the county office, you know. Sure. Thanks, Gary. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Huh? Yeah, we seem to be going backwards, man.
They're thinking about Thomas.
It always works.
Which is okay.
My name is Frank Richards. I live at 265 Springwood Drive, and I just request that we could use the petition method for those that desire to stay in the county can do so as well.
Okay, Frank. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Okay. Mike.
Mike Davenport, 584 Lakeside Drive. I just want to say thank you. It's been a long 19 months working on this process. I want to thank the residents of Gem Lakes who came out tonight and who participated in helping deal with Carolina Utilities and also working on these issues. There's been a lot of time and a lot of effort put into this by a lot of people. There was a time I thought it was never going to happen. I'm sort of ecstatic that we've made it this far. And thank you to the city employees, and thank you, Roger. I spent a lot of time. I keep on sneaking into his office. He turns around, and I pop up in his office on him. But just thank you. It's taken a lot. And I would like to just add, finally, is I would like to ask the council to use the petition method. That's what was gone over at the meeting in March, and the council unanimously, except for Pat, said that, you know, it's better to have, you know, all happy customers than several unhappy customers. And I'd like to repeat that. I think you're better off, you know, having all happy customers than a few unhappy customers. So I'd like you to encourage you to go forth with the petition method and bring in those residents that wish to come in. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Anyone else? Okay. Okay, not seeing any other hands, back to City Council for consideration. And I'd like to move that we move forward with this annexation back based on the petition method. Those who want to come in. Okay, we have a second.
Second, Mr. Mayor, but I do have a couple of questions just for clarification.
Okay, go ahead.
This is probably one of your questions, Jane, but for the new residents, they would be paying the regular water rate, and the non-residents, the ones that are left out, will be paying the double rates. Now, if they are on the sewer system and we buy that system, that means they also pay their share of the loan payment as well?
Everybody that is on the sewer system would be obligated to help pay that system off. If not, you know, we would go ahead and cut off their sewer service.
Okay.
the very simple.
It's not us, it's Roger.
It's Roger. Those that choose to, you know, if you went by the petition method and therefore there was some families that were on the sewer system but remained in the county, they would continue to pay double the water, they'd continue to pay the outside fire fee and the sewer usage, not the monthly surcharge, but the sewage usage would also be double. A typical resident inside the city, and I know this is an odd number, but they pay $19.19 based on 800 cubic feet of sewage usage. So if they remained in the county, they'd pay $38.38, which is double than the inside sewer customer. So everything would remain the same, except they'd be charged sewage also at a double rate.
Okay.
Any other comments?
Yes, I have a comment. When we approved this on first reading, I was inclined to go with all or nothing, take it all in, or just don't take anything, knowing the problems we faced with donut holes in the city. But I had a conversation with Mike, and he pointed out the same comments he's uttered here in terms of the few that don't want to go and why force those folks who don't want to go and have been terribly unhappy with us because they don't want to come into the city. I do think, as he stated to me and as we've shared, with the services that we provide, those who choose not to enter the city right now will want to as time goes by. And I support the petition method because of we don't want us, you know, we don't want to force you to come in, and that makes a happier person. So I'm supportive of that.
Mr. Mayor, of course, we're all aware of the problems that donut holes create in our city. We've dealt with them for quite some time now. It's my desire, and I don't know if we could do this legally or not, and I certainly do not wish to make a resident of City of Aiken that wishes not to, but is there any way that we could put stipulations on the deeds to these properties that if the properties were to be sold at that time, they would have to annex into the city?
City Council can't impact the person's deed, okay? What you can do is when council offers services to residents who are outside the city, state law does allow you to do that by contract. And council could adopt a policy after this annexation that future residents in a particular area who want to be allowed to use city services would have to first sign an agreement before they could do that, and part of that agreement could include a requirement to annex. But that would require a change in policy for city council. Some of the veterans on council will remember that that policy was actually discussed several years ago when we were looking at, I think, trying to do away with some of the donut holes in the Aiken Estates area and that sort of thing, and that met a lot of fairly vigorous opposition. But you do have the ability to do that. And the next landowner that buys a property that is not presently annexed could be required to sign an agreement where they would have to annex in order to receive those city services.
That's appealing. I had asked that question, of course, last time and didn't get quite that complete an answer, I don't believe. And, I've been leaning towards the 100%, but if that were a possibility, I really do think that the council should consider it. And basically, we have a problem with donut holes, let's face it, and we would like to get away from those as time goes on. We have an area abutting Gem Lakes across the street from Town Creek where we have an agreement that that's going to happen as it becomes contiguous. How do we enforce that kind of an agreement if we sort of duck the issue every time it comes around because there are a few people who object to being in the city, although frankly I think that most of those who are not in the city really enjoy living in the city or within the city perimeter. And that's the unfortunate part about this. And I know that I'm speaking to my new constituents when I talk about this, but nonetheless, I really honestly believe that we should go ahead with one area of 100% rule, or at least follow what our new councilman has suggested, the idea that there be at least a time that when that property is sold, the person who buys it must, in order to get sewer services, agree to be honest.
Now, what about water services? They have that anyway?
They currently all have the water. There are some individuals that are out there currently right now within the area that could tie onto the sewer system, but for whatever reason, either because the property was built beforehand or afterwards, they are on a septic system. Mm-hmm. And generally what happens in the city area is that as soon as the septic service fails, then they are required to get on the city service. Now, if a person is currently on a septic system and they get annexed, they are going to have to be required, because this is a policy we have with all city residents, that they will have to go ahead and be paying a minimum monthly service charge whether or not they're on the system.
But haven't we had problems when we've had a situation where people were supposed to annex and then they didn't want to, and then it looked like we were almost going to have to go to court to get them to do what the ordinance had said they would be automatically doing?
We are currently facing that right now in an area that we are serving with sewer and water, where the developer signed a petition to annex. But once the property was subdivided and many individuals then purchased it, a lot of the subsequent owners who are now in the system have decided not to sign that petition. Mr. Smith is in the process right now of dealing with that.
And that, I've had a few calls from people in Gem Lakes who I can understand don't want to stand up here and talk about it, who have said it's ridiculous for all of us not to come in, because how are we going to separate limbs, and how are we going to, it's just going to be a very confusing situation. And that argument, to be honest, didn't bear any weight with me at all until we start talking about the problems that we have. We have to go to court to enforce some of these agreements. And that's a ridiculous waste of taxpayers' money. It really is. And so that is why I have leaned 100%, just because it's so complicated and it takes so much city time. And these 21 lots, by the way, that we bought in from Virginia Acres, think how much time and paperwork and surveying and all that stuff that the city staff has spent money on. It's very expensive, and that concerns me a lot.
Well, let me share my opinion on this. A lot's being made out of donut holes. It's a lot different now than it was. I think we're making too much to do, in my opinion, out of so-called donut holes.
Well,
wait a minute, let me finish, please. Pete Fromer, you got up. I'll read what you said last time. Is that okay? In that first reading, I asked Pete, and I asked Larry Morris. And Larry can hardly speak because
I sent him home.
You sent him home, all right. Okay. So he can't speak. So I'm going to, and I want this for the record, if you will, please. I want to repeat, if you will, from the minutes of our last meeting. Public safety.
Meeting in March.
March 14th, 2005. Public Safety Director Pete Fromer stated that the Public Safety Department deals with donut holes every day. He said computers are programmed to mark the in-city and out-of-city properties. those properties inside the city would be programmed through 911 to call public safety rather than the sheriff's office. So he did not see a problem, and Pete, you can respond to that if you want.
That's okay.
All right.
Thank you, Pete.
He stands behind that. Larry Morris said, Public Works Director, who's in charge with limbs and the roll carts, and we would have roll carts, of course. Mr. Larry Morris, Public Works Director, stated that with the roll cart system, the garbage workers would know which houses to pick up garbage. He said, in looking at the area to be annexed, city workers will have to drive all streets. He said, the main problem for Public Works will be trash pickup, including limbs, grass clippings, etc. He said the workers would not know if the house is in the city or not, if the trash is at the curb. If the trash is at the curb, they wouldn't know whether it's in the city or not. He said some county residents would probably get city services. He pointed out the charge for services would be set up through computers for in-city services and outside city services. Now, I would, if Larry were here, I would ask him if he still feels that way, and if he did, I would disagree with him a little bit, because we have roll carts. In my experience on my road, Burgundy Road, in front of my house, is I've got trash clippings out there, my roll cart's out there. If you don't have a roll cart, and the cities are different than the counties, then you know whether it's in the county or the city. So I think this is a minimal problem. If it's a problem at all. I wish Larry were here to address that, but he's not. But I wanted to read verbatim what was in the minutes from the first reading. So I don't think that's going to be a major problem. I don't see it as a major problem. I said in the first reading, and I say it now, my personal opinion, I want people in our city that want to be in our city. We have a wonderful city. The council has worked hard. The staff has worked hard. Our citizens work together. And we want to make it the best we can. And we've tried to do that. And we'll continue to do that. And I am so excited about Jim Lakes, because even though it's been, how many months, Mike? You said 8 or 9 months. That's when the real work's taking place. We've been talking about this for years and years and years. And I think it's a wonderful partnership that we've got, that we will have between the city and Jim Lakes. And I hope that we'll continue in other areas of Jim Lakes also. So I'm very excited about the opportunities we all have to work together here. And believe me, the city will do everything they can to make you welcome and to make you glad that you decided to want to come into the city. And I just think other people will come in as time goes on, just like happened at Virginia Acres and in other places. So that's my 2 cents worth for this in this subject.
And I do agree with a lot of what you said. I think we do want to be welcome. However, it occurred to me, we just passed an animal ordinance a short time ago, and we're going to have county people and city people operating their pets under different ordinances, and I think that does become a problem.
The county doesn't have an ordinance yet.
That's right.
And they
That's
wanted
right.
us to pass ours first, and hopefully they're going to pick up on that.
Well,
we don't know. Hopefully we're going to be here tomorrow.
But in the meantime, you're going to have a neighbor with pets who may not have rabies shots, who may not have anything because they didn't have to have them. So you've got really, there are more problems, I think, to think about than just the trash. The police thing can, but I think having neighbors under different ordinances is really not a very good way to go. Now, I do hope that they will all see the wisdom of coming into the city over time, but I do believe that it is a problem. And I would prefer to see 1A rather than 1B.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. Let me go.
Part of the reason I'm on city council is because of annexation. Back when I ran God, 6 or 7 years ago, we had a, with our previous administration, our city manager was in the process of forcing people to come into the city, including the lady that's sitting in this position here. Being on the fire department for 20 years, it got so bad that we were even presented a list of businesses and houses not to respond to if they didn't annex into the city. And I took that list that I got, tore it up, and gave it back to the city manager. So I said then, and I say now, that we welcome anybody who would like to come into the city, but I'm not going to force anybody to come into the city. So I said that then, I say it now. So I'll go with Plan B.
Mr. Mayor, I live on a street. The people that face me, face our home. Part of them is in the city, and there are a few houses in the center of the block across the street that's, I'm sorry, parts in the county. In the center, there's folks in the city. The other end, they're the county. And you can, our city workers know, because we have our dispensers out front, as to who's in the city, and we've never had problems in distinguishing who is whom. One of our neighbor's sons was missing a bicycle, and he made a phone call to our public safety, and they quickly realized that this is not a city resident, this is a county resident, and they didn't respond to that call because it's a county resident. They're not paying for that kind of service. And so somehow they distinguish who is whom and don't respond to those calls if you're not a tax-paying citizen in the city of Aiken.
What do y'all think about Mr. Wells' suggestion that that Roger and Fred and Don?
I'd like, if we want to pursue that, which I don't want to right this minute, but I might, if we have some in the audience that do not want to come in, what do you think? I'd like to ask a question. What do you think of the idea of when you sell your house that it would likely, or the city would say to someone buying your house, we're going to cut your water off if you don't come into the city?
This gentleman back here, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Come.
To say that when you're inside your home, I know that you're just keeping your order, provided that there's no mechanics to go out there and shut your sewer off, and there's no water off. Now, if you have to shut your sewer off, that's no problem, but it's such a...
This is not an issue, by the way, that has to be determined, or according to Gary, should be determined right tonight with this ordinance. It could be done at some other time. I mean, we could take up this issue later at public hearings and all that kind of thing, and perhaps something you just mentioned, and look at it from citywide perspective, not just Jim Lakes, this section.
And Mr. Mayor, I was just going to clarify that I do think that if council were to go that route, it would have to be a policy that affects all users of the system. I don't think you could just limit it to one particular area of the city. I think you would have to have that applied to all non-residents of the city who receive city services.
Right. And that may not be a bad idea at all, you know, since it would be applied to everyone. Yes, sir.
I think...
can't install a separate system. The state will let you install a separate system. So you're going to be providing the penalty they pay is a double cost for sewer, just like they did a double cost for water. So I think if you want to do what you want to do it for the city.
Right.
Okay? Not on this annexation program.
Right.
Or anything or the other annexation program you have going now. Do a citywide saying, as of such and such a date, this will be the case. Put it on the board as a public thing at the next election. And of course, since there's a minority that's are not in the city, and since people vote, they'll end up passing it. But don't do it with this job. Do it the proper way. Their penalty is a double fee.
Mm-hmm.
I've paid a double fee for water for the past 27 years. I've had no complaints from the city. They've done an excellent job providing me water. That's the way the program is.
Yes, sir. I think that's what we ought to do, too. I think that's what our attorney is telling us, too. Okay. Any other comments by counsel? We've got a motion and a second to go petition method. Those who have signed the petition. And what's these latest two that we have?
Is that acceptable to both the motion and the second?
Is what acceptance? Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, adding these two. That's a little different change. Okay. If there are no more comments, a show of hands, please. All in favor of the petition method. Okay, opposed? 1, 2, 3. Okay, passes 4-3. All right? Do I count that?
If I could ask one more thing, were these properties contiguous?
Yes, those two properties were contiguous.
Okay, sure.
So as December 1st, for those that are inside the city, you should, if there is a problem with your water bill that you think, because there might be some confusion here or there, just please give us a call and our finance department will get it corrected. And we'll work with you on your garbage as we go along.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you all very much for being here and your comments.
As new residents, you could stay and listen.
Boy. I figured I'd start off well.
Here's your new council member.
Hello.
Four o'clock Thursday at 4.
Hey, William. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Bill, what are you doing rolling around without a coat and tie?
Under new business, first reading is the first reading of an ordinance to amend Chapter 32 of the City Code for Solid Waste. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance amending Chapter 32 of the City Code of Aiken, South Carolina regarding disposal, recycling, and handling of solid waste in city limits. Last year, about this time, Council made a decision to make several changes to our solid waste system that included the yard waste and also included using roll carts. We did not change the ordinance at that time because we wanted to give this a little bit of time and make sure that every changes that we wanted to make and that you had suggested could be implemented properly. So for the last 6 months, we've been operating under the regulations that you had before you without any problems, and we felt it was time now that we go ahead and pass these so that it could be reflected properly. Some of the major changes are that we are charging $5 if you want to continue with the backyard service. That's already been implemented. We have not implemented the fee, though, if somebody leaves their cart at the street and we return it to the backyard, they'd be charged $5. Currently, we're returning them. And we've given a lot of warnings on this, that if they leave the car at the street, 24 hours later, we drive down that area, we find a car at the street, we return it with that warning. We would like to institute that within the ordinance, that we would then start charging them. The ordinance does allow a 90-gallon or 40-gallon roll cart, whichever one they would like, and they do have the ability to change the size once a year if they desire to do that. One of the things I did want to point out, because we did get a couple of calls on it from individuals that wanted to continue with the backyard service, that they have gates and they wanted to be able to keep the gate closed, and we said no. The way that the ordinance now reads is that no roll carts, and this is on page 6, the very top, it says no roll cart can be serviced by City of Aiken personnel if service requires opening a door, gate, or similar obstacle. And the reason for that is a lot of times behind those gates, there's dogs. And we opened the gate, and when I was public work director, I can't tell you how many times people said, we caused a dog to get out. Or I can't tell you how many times our people got bit by a dog. So what I've told individuals is, if you got a gate and you want backyard service, you know about what time to come by, leave your gate open. We'll walk through the gate that shows us, indicates that there's no dog back there. Get your garbage, then you could go ahead and close your gate once we leave. But we do have that portion in there, that would be a requirement. The people that were in those situations, a couple of them were not real happy with that. I guess they got used to the service of people going through their gate all the time, but because of the problems we had in the past. Again, I feel it's similar to this annexation. Over a period of time, those that are currently on backyard service, as new residents move in, as people change, most of those will be going to a curbside service over a period of time anyways. We also have within the ordinance a collection fee that has been set up to allow us to pick up items that are not included in the service, and those have been adjusted based on what council had made a suggestion about 9 months ago, and those we have been charging over the last several months, and a number of people have been using that service. So these are a number of changes. It's the basic ordinance we had before with the incorporating those changes in there. We will probably come to you either the first of the year, or we'll possibly wait till budget time. We did check over our rates. We do need to adjust our rates. We could talk a little bit more about that at Horizons or in January. But right now, we're keeping the same rates that we have had for the last couple of years. For City Council consideration, this is first reading of an ordinance to amend Chapter 32 of the City Code concerning solid waste. Upon your approval, a second reading public hearing will be held.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second, Mayor.
Okay, any discussion?
Mr. Mayor. Yes. I would like to see a copy of this hardship document. I had a couple of people call me and said that I haven't seen it, but said they're getting a little too personal with their medical questions on it. So, you know, it determines if they aren't able to push their roll cart. So,
okay.
I haven't seen it, but they said they didn't want to fill it out. So.
I haven't seen it in several months, but I'll go ahead and get a copy for the next meeting.
Okay, for everybody.
Take a look at.
If we're going to start charging people the $5 to take the cart back, in the note that we're going to charge them, we point out if they just paid $5 a month, it would always be put back or something like that to encourage that to. So many people go out of town, and that's why they don't get them back. And I don't know that a lot of. I've just talked to a lot of people that just didn't register on that $5 a month thing. You know what I mean? And
we have probably around 3% of the individuals have requested backyard service. Mm-hmm. Not a large percentage, but we do have a several hundred that on each route. You
know. But I just think when we're telling them we're going to fine them $5, let's tell them that.
And we're not having that many problems. It's just it's a problem with a lot of the more the renters and individuals that. And again, we don't want to get neighborhoods where numerous carts. And if you all recall, we had a serious problem in Carlson Park with individuals leaving recycling bins out. And this will not only be roll carts, but it will be recycling bins also. And hopefully by doing that, people will get those things back in a more timely manner.
So we're not really changing anything here, are we? We're just adding it to the...
We're making changes to our existing ordinance of what's been in application for the last 6 months.
Right.
We're just ratifying what you had already approved.
Right. Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. Any other comments? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Item 2 is first reading of ordinance to annex property off Silver Bluff Road across from Center South Shopping Center.
Mr. Mayor, if I could interrupt. I have the developer of this property is one of my law partners, and to avoid any appearance of conflict, I will be recusing myself from these discussions, and I have filed my statement with the city clerk.
There it goes.
Mr. Pierce is available if council has any questions.
Okay.
I'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken. Certain properties consisting of 7.4 acres of land, more or less, owned by Sylvia Cornelius and located on the east side of Silver Bluff Road, south of King Edward Way, and across from Center South Shopping Center, being known as tax parcel number 106-1905-002 and 106-1905-003, and to zone the same planned commercial. One of the things, I'm not too sure if Gary did mention, but we also had Richard Pierce draw up this ordinance. Gary would normally do that, and, but we asked Richard to do that just again so there wouldn't be any conflict whatsoever. This acreage is currently operated as a mobile home park. They would like to go ahead and put 6 buildings consisting of a shopping office complex and some residential, and there's 3 out parcels. The maximum square footage would be 59,950. Indicate on your drawings they're showing 43,950, leaving 16,000 square feet available for those out parcel buildings. There were a few requirements that the Planning Commission reviewed and suggested, and their approval was unanimous. One, that they are suggesting through the traffic study that a right turn lane be incorporated, and if they cannot get the right-of-way or do this entire right-hand turn lane on this property, the Planning Commission is suggesting that a right-hand turn lane would not be necessary. So again, if it cannot be incorporated within the property that is being annexed, then they're suggesting that a right-hand turn lane would not be required. However, they still require that going out of the parcel or out of the property, that a right turn and left-hand turn lane, or you'd have 3 lanes, 1 in, 2 going out of that property. A couple of the other conditions there, the developer would comply with the concept plan submitted, including the notations and the concept and building plan elevations. The third from the last page gives a number of conditions that a lot of times we have had in the past listed in council and read over in the Planning Commission. It becomes a little bit of a problem because we have an ordinance that's passed with that in it, but it's not on the plan. So this time we had them put most of those conditions on the plans, which then goes along with the property, even if they sell the property to someone else. So that's how that was done. That the out parcels would be only for office or residential use. They couldn't use it for business use. That the applicant would authorize the execution of the agreement, list the conditions or approval, and it would be recorded at the RMC within 180 days. Again, this was unanimously approved by the Planning Commission. And the one of the things that we also did ask, and they certainly were willing to meet our request, was that the driveway entrance would be opposite to the driveway going into the center south. So for City Council consideration, this is first reading of an ordinance to annex 7.4 acres along Silver Bluff Road, opposite Center South Shopping Center, to be zoned planned commercial. Upon your consideration, a second reading public hearing would be held in December.
Okay. Roger, question. On page 6 of the Planning Commission minutes, in bold print, it's got, however, a decision is needed about what will be required if the SCDOT insists the length of the deceleration lane to be such that it would require right-of-way on the lot to the south.
Correct. And that's where the Planning Commission said if it required land of the south, then they would not. The Planning Commission has approved the plan where they would not put the right-hand turn lane in.
Okay, what does SCDOT say?
I don't know if we have gotten this information back.
This seems so strange to me because in one case you're saying you need it, but, well, if you don't have the whole length of it, then forget it, if I understand what's going on. Without any effort to try to purchase maybe a little extra effort, land to the south, if you need a decel lane, which I personally think we do, I think on any of our busy streets anymore, when something comes in, it needs a decel lane, maybe a right-hand lane out, because in years to come, we have all these without any decel lanes, you're going to have people stopping in the road, and it's going to slow up traffic, and just like on the bypass, Hitchcock Bypass, where we decided we wanted a lane up there, you know, right off of near Fox Chase. And there was some question, well, do you really need it or not? But maybe right at that point you don't. But if you continue that thought, then you're not going to have any of them. And all of a sudden, you've got a problem. So I guess I wonder, it seems like, well, we want it, but well, if you don't have all the land maybe necessary, then forget it.
Well, one of the ways, if council wants to insist on that, and the property owner to the south was not willing to sell it, would be that we put a condition in there that the city would have the ability to condemn that property to get it. Mm-hmm. But this property owner cannot force the property owner to the south to go ahead and sell them land.
Right, and I understand.
And that's part of the problem if it gets off their property to say that we're going to require a right-hand turn lane.
Right.
Now, if council was willing to go ahead and buy it with them reimbursing it, that would be another way of doing it.
Yeah. Ed, would you have any comments about the discussion maybe in planning as to how much you really thought this was needed?
I think that what you described is what we discussed. If it was possible, it should be done. If it wasn't possible, well, then it wasn't really possible. But I think there was
But Mr. Mayor, I thought you expressed my concerns very well.
Well, hey, we agree most of the time.
I really can't understand how we can go out, have a traffic ordinance, commission a traffic study, have traffic engineers say this needs to be done, and then just, well, if it can be done, okay, and if it can't be done, I guess we'll just forget it. It's ridiculous.
It is the problem that the area on Silver Bluff, the frontage on Silver Bluff is just not that great.
It's not wide enough to go ahead and...
It's not wide enough.
And it's not enough land on his lot.
There's not enough land on his lot to have a decel.
Well, we don't know that yet.
And a...
We don't know how much of a taper and how much of a decel lane is going to be required by SCDOT.
Okay, that's a real question.
Yeah.
That apparently that's still up in the air, whether they're going to require it or not. Is that right, Ed? Did y'all talk about that? That there's still that question that hadn't been answered yet?
It's not even SCDOT. They require, but again, it's how short should that taper be?
Right.
And then how much of a stacking area do you need for that decel area?
Right.
Now, if that taper could be, you know, what you're asking, is there enough right-of-way? It could be that taper goes through that portion of right-of-way that is currently on Silver Bluff that wouldn't need to buy any property. So the first question that has to be answered is, what is going to be needed for the decel lane?
How much length?
How much length is needed? But the big, again, is if, and this is going to come up in other cases with city council, because of the inability of a property owner to acquire property that is not under their direction, would we be willing to use our condemnation procedures to help them acquire it?
Or in some cases, they may just not be able to build what they want to build if we need it. You know? You may get, make it down to that too, either or, you know.
If you can't do it at all, you mean?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't like the way this is worded at all. I can't really agree with.
Well, I don't either. It seems like we need it, but yet if not enough space, then forget it. It seems like some would be better than nothing here, even if you've got a stacking of two cars, maybe, or rather than four or five or whatever. It sounds like something
actually
would be better.
What we have is missing information. We really need the information about what is possible
and
before
what they require.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, if council, if this is the only problem we have, and if council wants to go forward and pass it on first reading, we can get the information that might be able to answer this by the next meeting.
Yeah.
And here's the owner.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Brad. Certainly.
Brad Brody, 148 Sweet Bay Drive in Aiken. Actually, we went through all this in great detail at the Planning Commission meeting, and there's some misunderstanding about exactly the reason it was done the way it was. It's currently, this is a donut hole in the city, completely surrounded by city property, and it's a mobile home park, and the current owners lived there for 55 years. And, you know, I found out it was for sale and want to build a, you know, a nice shopping and office complex. The reason, you know, I had a traffic study done and jumped through all the hoops, you know, that that city planning wanted me to jump through. And I had the traffic study done, and, you know, his suggestions were, there were three or four of them, and I agreed to do all of them. The one that created the problem was the deceleration lane. The way he proposed it, you know, it took up more land than what I had, and his suggestion was, what they normally would do is shorten the taper. Instead of having a 180-foot taper, you just have a 100-foot taper. That way you can keep it all on your property. And it may be that DOT may not allow a deceleration lane at all. You know, I would think they would, but, you know, at my expense. But, you know, I have a contract to buy this from Miss Cornelison. I can't very well go deal with the joint landowner, I believe, is Clifton Weeks or Frankliff Corporation. There's no bargaining position there. There's, you know, you can't, you have to know these things before I buy the property. I have to know that I have a, that I'm zoned planned commercial and my concept plan is approved, or else I'm not buying it, period. You can't, it's expensive enough to get to this stage in the process as far as site plans, traffic studies, etc. But that's the, I have to have that certainty that. You understand?
Right. Absolutely.
And you're willing to build a deceleration lane that only takes up your property.
That's right.
The property that you have.
That's right. Exactly.
I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Because it looks to me like, I mean, you've got two parking areas and buildings, and how long do those things have to be, for goodness sakes? I mean,
how long, excuse me?
How long did they tell you deceleration lanes had to be?
Well, I mean, what the traffic engineer has recommendations.
Okay.
You know, DOT would have to actually, you know, approve it. And he just told me, you know, normally what you would do is shorten the length of the deceleration lane and also shorten the taper, which is the part that, you know, where you start turning in. As to the conditions, there were a lot more conditions than the few in the memo. They were typed on the site plan, you know, after numerous meetings with the city planning department. And, you know, we saved a bunch of the trees that were on the site. This is not my original site plan. This is the third or fourth revision. You know, we're saving a great number of nice trees. There's not any real parking on Silver Bluff Road to speak of. And, you know, I think it was a nice plan, but and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
I think we all probably agree it's a nice plan. The question is, what is DOT going to require? If I understand what I'm reading here, that...
Well, they may not require anything. They may, you know, there's an existing...
Well, they may not. And in that case, do we go with just a little decel lane that do we think would serve a purpose? I see here Roger Dyer says that perhaps decel lane can be shorter to stay within the boundaries of subject property. But it seems like there's still this question that's up in the air from SCDOT to respond to. Do we know whether or not they've got to, do they have to respond to this or not? Is it
they don't respond to this. I mean, what would happen is I would have to ask for an encroachment permit, basically, for my new curb cut. I believe there's an existing 3 curb cuts, and we're reducing that down to basically 1. They're kind of scattered on the frontage of the property. That's but you request an encroachment permit, and then that's how they review your review it.
Within that encroachment permit, they would show the D-cell lane, and there's a little over 300 feet, just a little over 300 feet between the driveway entrance and the property line. Typically, a D-cell lane, if I recall, my traffic engineering was 15 to 1. For every 1 foot that you're moving over, you have to go and do that over 15 feet, so that's why it takes that 180 feet for a 12-foot lane. And then you have a distance from the end of the D-cell lane to the entrance for cars to slow down. Now, there's two different things that the highway department could look at. Is do we need a 15 to 1? Is a 12 to 1 better than none at all? Or could we go with less than 200 feet? And we might be able to get some preliminary answers with that in talking to the highway department in the next week before you without even having to go to that encroachment permit.
Yeah.
Can we encourage them, tell them we want a D-cell lane? Mm-hmm. What can they do?
Well, I'm not too sure if we'll get an official answer from them before the next meeting.
Well, I can certainly speak with Mike Jarrow. I believe he's the one who reviews some of that.
He will review some of them, but this will have to come out of Columbia. But he, he at least give us some thoughts on it.
Is this the reference? Is he the local?
Mike Jarrow is the local person.
We already have a statement according to the local South Carolina DOT office. The lane could be an easement and would not have to involve additional right-of-way. So it sounds like that was...
Well, you would still have to purchase the easement, which is essentially purchasing the land.
Well, did you say there was 300 feet between the lot line and the driveway, which could be used for
the
D-cell lane?
If you look at the plan, the entrance is on the far left-hand side.
Well, would the speed limit there on Silver Bluff have anything to do with the length of that D-cell lane?
Yes, the higher the speed, the longer your D-cell lane has to be.
And that's 45 at that particular point.
So if it is 300 feet, Roger, you're saying that's not enough?
They really want 380 feet, 200 feet for your D-cell, and then your taper to be 180 feet.
Okay.
But the way this is written, it's all or nothing at all, which doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah.
I think I wouldn't even approve it on first reading unless we had clearer language than this in it.
I don't have a problem on first reading if we can resolve it before we get to the second reading to... Either we need it, either 300 feet is enough to give us at least a little stacking.
You're not bound by the recommendations of the traffic engineer either. I don't know that the Target Exchange even has a deceleration lane in it. I'm not sure. I can't recall. I think there's quite a few very, very large, very, very busy developments on Whiskey Road that don't have deceleration lanes.
I think, Brad, you're right, but I think we're more sensitive now to our traffic concerns than we've ever been and what's to come.
Yeah, exactly.
And what do we need to do to look at what we've got and as we plan in the future for whether or not we need D-cells?
I mean, I want it, too. I'm just, you just have to live within the limitations of the property.
Yeah, and I'm wondering why we can't live within the limitations of this. 300 feet, do they need 380? But you get something out of 300 feet anyway,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of
but the way it's
that's better than
right
nothing.
Now,
it's
the
better
way
than
it's
nothing.
Right now, however, he doesn't have to do a thing if the state doesn't give us you know, if the state makes the full requirement, it doesn't have to do a thing, but it doesn't say anything about doing anything. I mean, you know, it glares as an oversight.
And you certainly have a right on first reading to pass it without condition four. You could, in your motion, you could make a motion to approve it on first reading without this number four.
Well, I think, you know, I guess this needs to be somewhat of a policy thing with council in the future. What are we going to do on these kind of things on busy roads?
Actually, I believe, you know, I'm reading this recommendation. I don't know if this is exactly the way it was approved by the Planning Commission. On item number three, it says that if SCDOT requires the northbound deceleration lane to begin off of the property owned by the applicant, the lane not be required to be installed. I think actually what was said was, you know, that it would be, that as long as it was within my property, that it I would still be required to do it. It wasn't an all or none. So I think there may be a typo on this.
Okay.
Wilkins-Byrd made the very complex motion, you know, to approve it, but there was some more language in there. If it could be done on my property, I would still have to do it.
Right.
And you
have no problem
to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is a little different, as I recall, and Ed might be able to.
Now, do we have to get any kind of SCDOT approval on this thing?
Yes. Or? I mean, yes, you always have to get an encroachment permit from DOT.
Okay.
I can try and get someone to meet with me quickly, but then you have to submit quite a bit of engineering just to get one, you know, just to get the DOT encroachment permit.
To get an official answer, it'll take 6 to 8 weeks. And he would have to submit some engineering drawings with this. You know, we might get an unofficial answer. And again, what council faces is what I hear Brad say, if they could do it within their property, they're agreeing to do it. What if the highway department comes back and says, no, it has to be 380 feet. If you don't do a 380-foot decel lane, we're not going to approve the decel lane because of safety reasons.
So then it's the decision is not to have it.
Well, that's the decision
or
the council
can't
have.
Build what he wants to build, or he has to do something else.
And Ryder, you said that decision takes 8 weeks, 8 to 10 weeks.
Typical highway encroachment permits, especially with the holidays coming up, I'd be surprised if they'd got it back by mid-January.
Well, why wasn't this done before?
Well, we didn't, you know, you kind of run through a whole cycle of things you have to get done, and I didn't get the traffic study until probably 4 weeks ago, and then, you know, go through the Planning Commission, and this is really, y'all are the first ones to really, you know, voice such alarm about it, actually.
Well, did Roger Dyer's report recommend? Maybe it says that in here somewhere.
Yes, it does. It recommends
the
decel lane.
Okay.
To me, it absolutely has to be there with what's coming down the pike on Silver Bluff.
We're going to be getting more and more traffic on Silver Bluff. And you've got a nice shopping center there. I mean, the design is
good. I want it.
And you're going to have traffic coming in and out. And I just think we need a decel lane.
Well, that's what, you know, I have to know from DOT before the property's annexed into the city, you know, whether they're going to allow it or not. If they won't, if they're going to hold me up, then it won't happen. So I just have to, I can speak with them, and I don't know how procedurally we need to deal with it, but, you know, I have to know that.
You're saying you have to know from
I have to know whether they're going to, you know, allow it within my property, within my frontage, or not. If they require me to go on someone else's property, then, you know, that's going to be very difficult to do.
So you said your project won't move forward if.
You know, it's generally when you deal with adjoining landowners, sometimes things can be very difficult to acquire if somebody wants to sell at all, because then you're affecting their road frontage. If you notice on the site plan, you know, on the left-hand side kind of on the northeast. You know, my driveway is well off of Judith Wang's property, because you see that radius that kind of, it's called a radius. I mean, my radius doesn't even cross onto her property. You have to get, if you want your radius to cross on someone else's property, you have to get the adjoining landowner to sign something agreeing to it. And I mean, I've had that happen before. That's very difficult to even get done. So I designed it such that the radius doesn't even, you know, cross the in front of the other adjoining landowner's property. I mean, I'm glad to talk to SCDOT and see what we can get done as quickly as possible. But procedurally, I don't know how you handle it. If you have another week, if we have another meeting coming up in,
Probably one in December.
I don't even really understand, as I looked at the site plan, which this particular one, I don't see how that road can actually enter in the center south. But this may not be to scale, or is the movie gallery drawn in the wrong place?
There's two entrances into the movie gallery. There's a southern entrance and a northern entrance.
So this is going to go behind it.
Yes. This is across the street from the movie gallery.
Yeah, which is nothing.
There's some people that go in and out of it.
Yeah.
It's the closest we can get to it.
Oh.
Brad, right here.
Yes.
Not to change the subject from the D-cell lane, but just a quick question about the mobile homes that are there. Are they occupied at this time?
Some of them are. Some people have moved. Actually, the owner of the property owns a majority of them, Ms. Cornelison. And she's made arrangements, you know, to move the homes. I'm not responsible for moving any homes and so forth.
And she'll have them moved by the second reading or shortly after?
No, I mean, she'll have them. We allow for a gracious plenty of time to move the homes. And I think they all had to be moved within 180 days of approval, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have to be removed prior to annexation becoming effective.
Okay, well, my point is, could we not approve this tonight, just as he has to wait for them to move the mobile homes and get all of that straight? Could he not have an answer from DOT by that point for the D-cell lane and the length of that, to see if his property is going to be enough for that, and make that a condition of approval?
Before Mrs. Cornelison moves the homes, I would have had to have acquired the property. She's not going to move the homes until after it's deeded to me.
Well, this would speed it up if we could approve it on first reading and then get these questions, the question answered.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm fine if we you know, do the first reading. Do you have to have your second reading 2 weeks, or can it be?
Well, even if we have to wait,
it can always be delayed.
We may have to table it beyond. I mean, delay it.
Right.
For the second reading, based on.
Yeah. Just for the second reading.
Yeah, and we could have if council agrees, we can have a special meeting. If we decide we're not going to have a second meeting in December, which we always have, that's on our agenda tonight, and something comes up, we could, if council wanted to, and if you could get the answer.
I'll have to have some additional engineering done.
Right.
You know, but I mean, like you say, I think you're looking at 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. So that would put it into January.
Right.
And what kind of a problem does that present you, Brent?
I mean, we just have to deal with it. I mean,
okay. You can deal with it.
Right.
Because I think this is so important, you know, to get this right.
We wait until the information is there. I think we can do the first reading now. Okay.
And you're okay with that?
Yes, okay. I'm okay with it.
The highway department is going to come back with one of two things. Yes, a 300-foot D-cell lane is going to be okay, and they'll approve it. Or no, it's not going to be okay, you need 380 feet.
Right, I want to know the answer either way, so I have to get it done either way. But that's fine with me.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Do we have a motion then?
Should we change any of this wording now? We don't want to change any of the wording in here now.
We can just let it be on first reading, because I think we all have the understanding of what needs to be done.
All right.
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we adopt this on first reading to annex the property off Silver Bluff Road.
Second, okay. Mr. Mayor. We have a second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay.
That's
unanimous.
And what I will do then is it'll either be on the next agenda if we can get what we feel is confirmed information concerning this. If not, we will go ahead and table it until we get that information, mm-hmm. which would probably be sometime in January. Mm-hmm. And Brad, we'll be willing to work with you and talking to Mike Jira and trying to get some answers.
Yeah, thank you, Brad. Moving on to the next item, which is, says it's two, but it's really three. First reading of an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance regarding planned residential and planned commercial zones. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. I'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance amending the City of Aiken zoning ordinance regarding planned commercial projects and planned residential development. The Planning Commission brought this up a couple of months ago after receiving several revisions. Primarily, in fact, I think they all were from Woodside, where street location had been changed, the density did not change, there was really no significant changes to it. And so they wanted to, instead of these coming before them and City Council all the time and delaying the development, to give more discretion to the planning director in approving certain minor, what they feel were insignificant changes to an approved concept plan that council and planning commission had already reviewed. The exact language would say the changes, however, when the development would increase the dwelling unit density or the intensity of the non-residential development or substantially change the character or constitute a major revision of development, then it would go back to City Council. Of course, if the planning director ever felt that something in his mind may not be very significant but could be significant or controversial, they could always bring it back to City Council. When this first came before Ed and the question came up, we were talking about just on streets. And then the more it was discussed by the Planning Commission, the more they put in the rest of this language here. It's really up to council which direction they would like to go. We're going to be seeing more and more planned residential and planned commercial in the future. I hate to give you a percentage, but I think the majority of the plans that will be coming before you in years to come are going to be planned commercial or planned residential, instead of saying it's going to be an RS6 or an RS8 or 10 or whatever. It gives you more control in the initial, but also lets the developer know exactly what you would expect from them. So you may be getting more of these, and as time goes on, there are going to be some minor changes. And so you may want to deal with all of them as they get changed, or you may not. So that's why this is before tonight. So for your considerations, this first reading of the ordinance revise the zoning ordinance regarding the planned residential and planned commercial zones. Upon your approval, a second reading public hearing would be held.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. You know, my only problem with this is it's in definition, I guess, of words. Like substantially, or major. If we pass this on first reading, if by second reading we could have something that would maybe give a couple of examples of what would you consider to be substantially change the character of the development. You know, a couple of examples of what that might be. So the council would know a little bit more about what we're giving away here.
Or constitute a major revision.
Yeah, what do you think would be a major revision that would apply here?
I agree with you on that completely. One of the things that bothers me is, first of all, I don't think it's been a big problem yet because we haven't had that many planned commercial or planned residential. Maybe we want to wait and see if it is a big problem. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The one thing that does bother me is if the location of the commercial part of the development was moved from one side of the property to another side of the property, there's nothing here about the location. To me, that would be dramatic in that the neighbors would be affected in very different ways, perhaps. if single family were not abutting a neighborhood, but multifamily were, or a shopping center was, it would make a big difference. So I would want, if we approved it, first of all, I'd like to see if we have this big of a problem. But secondly, if we do and approve it, I would like it to say increase the dwelling unit or the intensity of non-residential development, or move the location of commercial development. Something like that.
Yeah. And that would, I have no problem with that. That would be one of these things where we could define it. We better define it than just major or substantially.
Again, for clarification, when Ed and I talked about this several months ago, we were just talking about streets and then the moving of a street, which really wasn't going to change the density or the intensity of a development. And that's what was coming out of Woodside. They wanted to lengthen one street, they wanted to move one street over. Just a couple of last meet, I think they combined two into one, or they made one into two. I can't remember. But those were the ones we were thinking about, and then this other language came in, and I'm not too sure. One of the Eds here could explain why the additional language came in, changed in here, affecting all those things.
That's you, Ed. That Ed. Of course, Ed Jovi could explain it if he wants to.
No, I think I'm going to
And again, it doesn't matter that much to us. We're just trying to simplify the process a little bit if that could happen.
I might have misunderstood. I know we started with a street issue, and as we talked more, I thought it broadened out and got into more than just street. So that's the reason we came up with that additional language. If you look at the language that's in there now, which says it affects the intent and character of the development, that to me is more vague than the proposed language. I mean, what does that mean? Affects the intent and character of development. I thought that was vague.
Substantial.
So I tried to come up with some more language that hopefully is clearer. But
substantially, we might all have different opinion or definition for what is substantial. That's all we're saying is.
I understand that.
Maybe we need to pin it down more like moving a building whatever. Substantially change the character
of the example Jane gave about moving a commercial area from one location to another, for what it's worth, I mean, to me that would be a major or substantial change.
Yeah, right.
Pinning down other examples might not be too easy. But
would it be helpful if we just started by just doing the street thing? The street...
Do you anticipate a lot of these things?
As Roger said, you're going to be approving more planned commercial and planned residential plans.
Right.
And you're going to be getting more and more into detail. And as there are changes to those concept plans, how much of that do you want to see? I mean, that's really the issue. Do you want to keep going back and revisiting these plans over and over again? Or how much do you want to delegate to staff?
We have an example, I guess, we've been dealing with from time to time with Woodside. What, phase three, I guess it is? How many times now has that come back for minor changes? It's come back a number of times, I think.
But it's all streets.
Three or four times? Is that just streets?
Yeah. Well, we did have a major change when they decided to put the multifamily outside the gate.
Oh, yeah.
We had
that was a major
track A, track B, track C. Obviously, that was a major change. They're going to be coming back with another major change on the commercial business area probably within the next... I think that's going to the Planning Commission already, isn't it?
In January. That'll be December.
And again, that's a major change. Although it's not as intense, and it's actually even a better plan, it looks far different than the other one. Far different.
Well, I agree with Jane. Why can't we start with the streets? And if something comes before us, we can say, well, the next time we don't want that. You know, staff deal with it. But we don't know what we're working with changes until these things come to us.
You know, we start off real strict, as I recall, on the commercial piece of Phase 3. We said, hey, this is it. You know, if that building moves, if anything changes, we want to see it. We want to approve it. That was maybe one of our first. Was that one of our first planned commercial?
Well, of course, we just had a change now on the planned commercial with Hitchcock Plaza, you know, where Cameron Zubrick came in and he wanted to have changes to the languages. So we're going to get those, but again, that was, again, another major change. We could start out, if you don't mind, how about if I work with Ed and we'll change the language to talk about the streets and get that language, because that's where we originally started, was with the residential areas with streets, and it could even be in the commercial area with a couple of streets changing lengths or even the locations a little bit. That, again, as long as it's not significant, and again, you're getting these words, substantial, but it's not going to change the intensity. And I think we all know where we want to go. It's how do we go ahead and get it so that you would all feel comfortable.
I just think examples are the best way to know. I mean, if we don't know what a major change is now, how are we going to know when it comes to Ed? He's got to decide then, no, this isn't major. Yes, this is major. And I trust him to make that decision, but still in all, I think we need to understand a little bit better about what is major, what is substantial, what's an example of something that could happen that you would term, you know, substantial or major.
So if you want to table it, we'll come back in December with some modified language.
All right, well, yeah, suits me.
Okay.
All right, do we have a motion and a second to table it?
Yes, I move.
Do we want to table it or just continue it?
That's the same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing?
Second.
Oh, you're going to continue it if you like.
I thought there was a difference.
Continue it.
We'll continue it.
Okay. We have a motion and second.
Jane moved that second.
Continue it or significantly continue it?
No, that's pretty major. That's a major thing. Continue. Okay, do we have a motion and second?
Jane moved that second.
Okay, all right. All in favor to continue it? It passes unanimously, I think.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Item 4, first reading of an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance regarding tree preservation for attached single-family residential projects. Mr. Liddick, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance amending the City of Aiken zoning ordinance regarding tree preservation. The Planning Commission has been dealing with attached housing, and this is part of what they dealt with, and they're going to be coming back with other recommendations at a later time. But we felt that this part was so important. This has come up on numerous occasions with council. We're currently under attached housing. They could go in, as we've seen at Morgan and Barnwell. It's single-family home ownership. They could take out every tree that's there. This would require that under attached family residential projects like that, that a tree survey would have to be done, that although the changes would not address new landscaping, it does address tree preservation. Tree surveys needed. They'd have to protect grand trees. They'd have to preserve at least 20% of the inches of significant trees, provide certain buffers. And we feel this goes a long way for all those attached homes that we're dealing with. Again, Planning Commission is taking up the issue of attached housing in general, and we'll be coming back with other changes that they feel needs to be done. And there's a good likelihood that there will be a rezoning or a new zoning that will be brought forward with that. In other words, have a zone just for attached houses. But for your consideration tonight, this is concerning preservation of trees for the attached single-family residential projects and revising the zoning ordinance that is associated with it. And upon your approval, then a second reading public hearing would be held.
Okay, good. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second. All right, we have a second. Any discussion?
On page 5, where you defined an attached single-family residence, aren't several of those R6 projects we have okayed just two units attached to each other and not triple units? So, I mean, what does that mean? A one family with ground floor access outside attached to one or more similar...
They already have a definition for duplexes within the zoning ordinance. We just did not have a definition for attached single-family residential project.
Okay, so will this tree ordinance apply to duplexes?
Yes.
Okay. Ed's shaking his head no. Gary's saying yes.
I'm sorry, I would defer to Ed.
No?
This covers detached single family, which is the way it's defined here. Three or more attached units.
Okay, but what about duplexes?
They'd not be covered.
Okay, so if we wanted to have them covered, it would have to say for attached single family and duplexes. Is there a reason we didn't look at duplexes?
It's just the way it's treated in the zoning rules. You have single family, duplex, attached single family, and multifamily. Those are the categories. So if you want duplex covered, you can include it specifically.
Those things are built. The buildings are building on Barnwell. Aren't those simply two units?
No,
together?
There's several of them together.
Okay.
There are very few duplexes being built right now in the city.
What about that area in front of Stratford Hall that we okayed? Weren't those just two units wide? Yes, I was thinking of that.
So, you know, if you want to have a tree preservation, then we should include duplexes.
I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're missing a big portion of what we were worried about. And I would hate to have to make everything be a triplex. You know what I mean? That would make it less, give them really less flexibility in a way if they had to do the triplex.
Gary, is there anything in particular we have to change here in Exhibit A?
I think where you had, Ed, correct me if I'm wrong, I think where you have attached single-family residential projects, you would also want to include the word duplexes or duplexes. You just need to do that throughout the suggested modification to this ordinance.
Consisting of either duplexes or attached. Okay.
Correct.
Okay, then you'll make those changes for the next meeting?
We can.
Okay.
Okay, all right. Do we have a motion and a second on this one? Did we have that?
We do. I have one other question. I'm sorry, I'll be real quick. On the third page that we have, where it says unavoidable grading, you know, on Pine Log, I mean, he wanted to flatten the land. Now,
where is this, Jane?
Where it says, the preservation of any grand tree unless the planning director determines there is absolutely no alternative to removal because of unavoidable grading or because of the required configuration of paving, utilities, or buildings. If someone wants to flatten out a lot, is that unavoidable grading or not?
That language is in the ordinance right now, where it gives the planning director he has to make the determination whether what the developer wants to do is reasonable or not. Is the grading he wants to do reasonable? Is the location of the building he wants to do reasonable? And as I try to point out on page 2 of the memo, in that bold underlined wording, mm-hmm. That's kind of a warning is the wrong word, but a caveat to let you know that even if you adopt this, you're going to have cases where there's going to be unavoidable grading, and they're going to have to clear a lot of land, especially on sloping property.
But if we have planned residential, we'll know that ahead of time, right? If it's a
correct.
Planned residential development.
Correct. And if you want to make the developer change his design to save more trees, you can do that. But if somebody brings me a plan, you know, showing a proposed layout, and the density is such that it meets the zoning ordinance, there's really no way I can say, you know, sorry, you can't build that many units. You have to decrease the number of units in order to save trees. I'll have to say, yeah, it's reasonable. You have to do what you have to do. Those trees can go.
So this wouldn't protect us against what happened on Pine Log?
What would probably not, except on the Pine Log frontage and along the buffers around the property would have to be required. Mm-hmm. You would have ended up with a planting strip along the street frontage on Pine Log Road. Okay. So that is something you do gain. But on the interior, probably the same thing would have happened.
What's that line about the tree? Only tree removal allowed after approval of a subdivision would be associated with the installation of roads and utilities. But we should know that, shouldn't we, ahead of time?
When you say we, you mean?
I mean the city should know.
Sure. They submit a subdivision plat, and they would show where the roads are going, where the utilities are going. And on that plat, they would have a notation saying that the only clearing that's being done is within the road, for roads and for utilities, and they can't touch trees in anywhere else. That's part of the subdivision approval.
So we would already have that. They wouldn't just have to be able to change that after the fact and everything.
Right. Okay. That's correct. The point is, it's just, this is not a cure-all. I mean, you're still going to have cases of clearing. And so, you know, be prepared for that if it happens. But it will help. It will help.
And the only way to avoid that totally is to go with the plan residential with all duplexes and attached family housing.
That one we lost in Ashton Oaks, Beverly, that big one, was that for a road or utility? No.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
You know, I always say the tree is dying. That works.
This will certainly help.
They're going to plant more trees.
Help a whole lot, but it's not going to be 100%.
Mr. Mayor, I just want to make sure that those who moved this and those that seconded this were satisfied with amending it so that it would also include duplexes.
I am.
Good. Okay. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, passes unanimously. Item 5, selection of Mayor Pro Tem for Council. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. Every 2 years, we select a new mayor pro tem. Their duties start on January following an election. Of course, we had an election here and ratified just moments ago. So council would need to consider who the next mayor pro tem would be. Currently, Councilmember Sprawls would be holding that term of office until the end of December. The next two individuals in line as far as seniority is concerned, that seniority with the length on council, would be Councilmember Smith and Waters. So it would be up to council to consider tonight who they would like to approve as mayor pro tem to start the term in 2006 and carry through 2007.
I would like to nominate Mr. Smith.
I'll second. Okay.
Seniority.
A for B. I accept based on seniority.
Based on seniority. Yeah.
Dick, you didn't hear me. Age before beauty. Mr. Mayor, if this case of subject doesn't come back up, I'd just like to say it's been an honor to serve you as a mayor pro tem. You're a very hardworking mayor. I don't think there's a harder working mayor in the city. I mean, in the state. And,
probably not.
Hey, you've been working me pretty hard. That's been a pleasure, Mr. Mayor, anyway.
Thank you, Don. It's been a pleasure working with you. And, you know, as we get busier, there are things that I can't do, and I really depend on the mayor pro tem, that's for sure. And I try to do everything that comes up, but there's no way you can do that as we're growing. And I appreciate your service, Don, very much. And if there's no other comments, we'll have a vote here. All in favor? Dick Smith, Mayor Pro Tem. Passes unanimously. Congratulations, Dick. Got ribbon cutting tomorrow. No, you don't take office until January.
Don got a ribbon cutting.
Okay, let's see. December petitions and requests, December meeting schedule.
The next meeting schedule for December, the second meeting is the 12th, the fourth Monday is the 26th, which is the day after Christmas. If you all would like to come on down, I'll be here.
Sure.
Actually, I'm not. But and we recommend that council consider not having a second meeting in December if another item would come up, like we talked about with Mr. Brody, where if you wanted to go ahead and look at one particular item, we could always schedule a second meeting at another date that would be agreeable to council. But we are recommending tonight the cancellation of the second meeting in December due to the holidays.
Okay. Do we have a motion and a second?
I move that we take Boxing Day off.
Do what?
Boxing Day off.
Okay.
Boxing Day?
That's in England.
I take that day off. No second meeting. Is that what you're saying?
The day after Christmas is Boxing Day.
All right. I'll second that. Any comments on not having a second meeting in December unless there's a special one? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor of no meeting, at least scheduled right now. We do need to, if council agrees, to go into executive session. We don't do this often, but for a city manager review.
Mr. Mayor, I move we go into executive session. Second.
Okay. All in favor? Please. Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. We'll do that. Wait a minute. You're not going to hang around?
Absolutely.
We're not going to do any of that. Hey, he's.
Man, I just come out here for a public vote.
Yeah, but I got to go. So,
okay.